This is Tim Murdoch. You're watching White Rabbit Radio for, what is it, Sunday, March 23rd? Hopefully you guys are doing okay out there. Let's get cooking. We've got, I've got something tuned up here to play in the opening X Mini Minutes. It's Alex Jones' take on the Egyptian scenario. The Egyptian situation, scenario, whatever you want to call it. Global chat, what's up? Hopefully you're doing okay out there, buddy. Aaron White, thank you very much. And what's up, Fox and I? We are live on the usual. We're live on the YouTubes. We are live on Rumble. And we're live on Odyssey. And I think Mark Collette's live right now, too, actually. He's got Joel Davis on, who I'm trying to schedule. I have Mr. Hersant scheduled a week from tomorrow. And then on that Friday, I got Emily Yukis, and I'm starting to schedule out. Going to have on Vincent James of Red Elephant fames again to talk about the Kennedy files for a couple hours, because he's like an authority on what's going on between Israel and Kennedy. And I'm trying to schedule out Joel Davis as well and a bunch of other people, maybe even Keith Woods. But hold on, let's get after it. Let's see what's going on here. I know that this was sent to me from a friend in Ireland. Very few people know that there is a major political party. This is March 22nd, the last 24 hours. It is actively promoting white genocide. The video below was just yesterday, a whole arena chanting and about killing white people. A month ago, South African government passed a law legalizing taking property from white people at all with no payment. Where is the outrage? Where is the coverage by the legacy media? I mean, you could ask this question 20 years ago, but, you know, better late than never by the richest man in the world, I guess. Starlink can't get a license to operate in South Africa simply because I'm not black. How is that right? Here's the thing. He's autistic. I mean, most whites aren't racial thinkers anyways. You would think a white guy raised in South Africa would have somewhat of a clue. Everyone I know from South Africa does. But anyways, this is about business. South Africa has a tremendous amount of natural resources. He is a businessman, first and foremost, and he's pissed off over the management of the country, and he should be. If something good comes out of it for Boers, that's fine. My fear, though, is that once they start taking property, the Boers are going to need support. The Boers are going to need, and I mean like Marines, you're going to need to step in. The only good news is that Tucker Carlson acknowledged this, which kind of surprised me, that the Boers can do fighting, but they need to be backed up. And it's a situation with if America throws its weight behind, everyone else is going to back off, including the Chinese. If America doesn't throw its weight behind, then it could become a proxy war between empires or something. I don't think the Russians will get involved with the killing of white Christians. Not these days. Not these days. Not there. Not with America getting... But America has to get involved. And I mean, like, actively involved more than jawboning and billionaires threatening. I know Elon Musk wants the resources. Businessmen are businessmen. But, you know, if a businessman wants to... Because I've talked about this in Germany. My feeling is this type is in Germany. Like, no, we don't want Turks. We don't want all this other shit. We just want to bring up the birth rates because we want German workers for German products. It's bad for business. Doesn't make any sense. And it's a lot cheaper. Migrants, these brown immigrants, actually cost a lot of money. Germans, not so much. They're costing the German government. So it's kind of like a business perspective, but we got to use whatever we can use in the short term. Long run, it's not optimal having businessmen that don't have any kind of common sense, obviously. You guys get the picture. You're smart. But this whole entire thing is about money. But I think this is going to become far more common than we – I think this has become more common behind the scenes than we know, especially in places in Europe. And Elon Musk is making it acceptable to talk about it publicly. I just hope they do something because you can't leave the Boers hanging. That's the danger here. The good news is that the Tucker Carlsons and the Elon Musk agree that their property can't be confiscated and they shouldn't be genocide. That's good. It's a good place to start. But that's like low-hanging fruit. We want action, some type of action that benefits the Boers. We can all move into the Boer homeland, this giant Boer homeland called South Africa. We can only hope. That would be wild and ironic, right? 100 years from now, the healthiest and largest white society, where all the pro-whites had to move to South Africa once it became a homeland. Before the collapse of America, Elon Musk and all these degenerate billionaires got him a homeland being greedy. And then ended up getting kicked out by the board. Stranger things have happened in history, but I don't know. BRICS is just Jew's new boss, same as the old boss. They're not in the BRICS yet, but, you know, they've got their toes all over the place. Yeah, they can be reined in, though. I mean, if America goes in there, the BRICS is a short-term solution only. It's not a long-term solution, no matter what anyone says. Russia wants in with the United States and the West, and they ain't BRICS. Now, Trump is big into the Commonwealth thing. He wants to be on the British Commonwealth or some type of associate membership, which is intriguing. Don't miss the larger picture. Just because there's a tribe called the Jews all over the place doesn't mean they can't get run over. Read a history book. I mean, they're getting pressed everywhere, and usually this type of thing does not end well. But this is Alex Jones's take on the particular Egyptian scenario, and I'm going to turn my camera off and comment on this. The significant thing about this in Egypt and why it's going to be a big deal is because most of us, including me, I assume when they brought out something about the pyramids, it would be because this is what was signaled, right? There's a little something underneath the pyramids, which has always been a meme, right? And that something beneath the pyramids is basically some type of library full of copper scrolls or ancient copper writings or something like basic, which that would be a big deal on its own. But at the same time, it wouldn't dispute the legitimacy of the actual pyramids as tombs to pharaohs. If there was a structure or a like small library underneath one of them with some type of, you know, copper scrolls a la the Library of Alexandria or something, some kind of mini version of that or some bullshit thing like that, that's what I thought they would bring out. But that on its own doesn't dispute the historical narrative. What they brought out with the 600 kilometer gigantic pillars underneath it is just the craziest shit ever. And it is science. They're bringing out science. So there's no escaping it that the narrative itself has been whacked. Why would they do it and why would they do it now? Well, the question, there could be a million different reasons. The question becomes, what else are they willing to tell us? That's where it becomes dangerous. And it is dangerous simply because, let me give you an example. Well, let me play this first. So, you know, you have something in America called Christian Zionism, and I've long said that elements in that particular Christian Zionism are very dangerous and unstable. Not that there aren't dangerous and unstable people all over the place. In any, the left, right, center, I mean, you're going to have people online watching our stuff that are probably a handful that are dangerous and unstable. This happens. But in Christian Zionism has a very large collection of dangerous, unstable people. All you have to do is say, you know, some Baptist preacher connected to Israel, we're fighting the Nephilim. Start saying crazy stuff like that, you know. We're fighting the Nazis. You already got that sense, you know. They could be extremely dangerous because they're very religious and they're going to get amped up. So that's the challenge here, is that you walk in religious territory and you freak these people out and then set them off their chains, you know, and they start going crazy. And that's a problem. That's a problem. And people are going to be skeptical of everything. I do understand that. I'm more interested in programming. And people are so skeptical, you can roll something like this out and no one's noticing it. It's just a handful noticing it. But it's like bombshell stuff. What else are they willing to roll out? You know, they're going to have people going left, right, center. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, guys, I don't know who's ready for this. I haven't prepared for it. But I feel that I need to say this. So this is going to be very weird and wacky for some people. You can call me crazy if you want. That's all right.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of this stuff. Is Israel the home of the fallen angels? Well, that's probably getting closer to the truth than anything else. And you guys should be skeptical of everything. Keep your head when people are losing theirs. But if you want to talk about a lot of people, I mean, you're going to have these guys going wild, the Christian Zionists and everything else over quote-unquote fallen angels and all that kind of stuff with their interpretations, their pastors' interpretations of this or that, which they all have their own custom interpretations. And that is extremely dangerous. There's a whole different, there's a few different angles that are extremely dangerous. But one of the things that is extremely dangerous as well is, of course, if they go after Nazis, that you guys already know that. But the sky's the limit on if they're willing to go down this particular road to tell us these facts. And what they're doing is rolling out facts. Well, they're rolling out science, and science is facts, which disputes the total historical narrative that we've been told about Egypt. I don't know what more they're willing to do. And sooner or later, they're going to start freaking people out. So, anyways, you guys, our side is going to just be yelling Jews, which is what you guys are doing in the chat, You're going to be yelling Jews, which is par for the course. That'll actually keep you safe. You're just going to be yelling Jews. Different guys are going to be yelling, this is a Jew, that is a Jew, this is a Jew scheme, that's a Jew scheme. It's okay, just stay in your bunker and keep thinking that. But this stuff could get very, very dangerous very quickly. Well, they got pretty detailed. Their radar is extremely, whatever they're using, it's not exactly radar, is extremely detailed. It's very, very detailed. And the fact that it's coming out now. So, I mean, it's good to be skeptical, believe it or not believe it. It's true, though. I mean, there's massive columns underneath there. It rewrites the history.
It's just how...
Make sure that you guys are here. Okay, I got this dialed up all the way.
Significant of a discovery this is, because what's been discovered is that there are huge structures coming down from the base of the pyramid deep into the bedrock. This is not possible given the standard historical and archaeological narrative given to us about ancient Egypt.
Well, that is true.
We're talking about huge structures that go kilometers
I'm interested in Alex Jones's take on this
under the earth. And then have these huge,
since we know he's a talking mouthpiece,
huge coils around them, and then these other structures built above that that basically look like Chinese architecture. And then you start looking at the schematics of what they found. It looks like a power plant grid. Just the giant pillars are 2 kilometers. Then there's giant blocks under them that are gigantic. I mean, this is amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, I've always been fascinated with the pyramids, and I've read a lot of history books about it, both mainstream and alternative. I've interviewed a lot of experts about it. And I also read what ancients said about it, like Plato and others that were really historians of their time. And these new discoveries that were just announced last week and got very little attention until just a few days ago are the most spectacular ever.
This is the big deal with this. They've got very little attention. First off, you can't do any research on the Giza Plateau. They won't let you. So you've got an Italian guy from Italy, from a university in Italy, and then you've got a guy with an Italian name from a university in Scotland who actually got some kind of technology to do this particular scan, and they were allowed to do it on some level, which is in itself unprecedented because they haven't allowed anyone to do anything like this in years and years.
Using very sophisticated, high-powered satellite, ground-penetrating radar, an international team of scientists, and they published their findings, have been able to scan down deep into the Giza Pyramid Complex, and particularly the Khafre Pyramid, the second largest in the world, second only to the other pyramid right next to it. There's obviously 3 big ones and a bunch of older ones, or they think maybe later ones, copies of those that weren't as good. Now, I remember being a little kid, and my dad's a big historian, he reads all sorts of stuff, and him saying that the word was some type of energy system, and that there was different technologies that they now know exist, we're able to do it now, where you can sink different types of systems into the ground and pick up the latent energy of the planet, particularly if there's water running under it, and it creates a lot of different phenomena, and there's different ways to do it.
Now, the three pyramids line up with Orion's belt, the Great Hunter. And the pyramid that they scanned was only the second biggest. Would that mean that something's underneath the big one? We would imagine. I just don't know what. If it'll have the same thing or some different twist on it. I don't know.
Point is that in so many ancient texts and in all the lore, they've said that there's a giant energy complex underneath these pyramids. And we've had, really, the last 60, 70 years, the Egyptian government not letting anybody excavate, not letting anybody investigate, and being very, very secretive. And I remember all the different Egypt experts and others, even on mainstream news, and Art Bell and all of it said,
yeah, this is the thing. They wouldn't allow any experts do anything until right now. Hello, Galaxy Wanderer. Hopefully you're doing okay. And hello, Noctis Ambulo. They wouldn't allow them to do anything except right now. Now, I thought that they would do something along the lines of the UFO bullshit, where it's kind of like not that big of a deal. This is actually a big deal because it undoes the whole entire historical narrative from every angle.
And it's because there's these big giant structures under it, according to lore, and there's a lot more inside these pyramids, particularly under them. And so now, I'm about to get to several great reports breaking this down better than I am. One with our former colleague who we love, Greg Reese, who's always was talking about this. And it's just amazing. I mean, we're talking about huge structures that go kilometers under the earth and that have these huge coils around them. And then these other structures built above that that basically look like Chinese architecture. And then you start looking at the schematics of what they found. It looks like a power plant grid. So
there's the angle, guys. We Was Kangs is actually an ancient, super ancient Chinese, super high civilization.
It would be hard for us to build this today. And it's clearly not just ceremonial. And if you go back to ancient writings and ancient lore, and that is really what legends are, is just over time records get lost and the Library of Alexandria got burned and others. But the word was, and it's been passed on to us, that this was a giant, some type of energy system or communication system or weapon. And it was in the lore that Atlantis was out in the Atlantic and it had some free energy system with automatons, big robot-type people that humans would use, and it was flying ships that were described. And whether that existed or not, we're the new Atlantis now. We have all that stuff. So we know that we don't know much going back past 6,000 years. And whatever we're told about the history of humans is always changing. That's the thing about science and history, and basically nothing we were told 100 years ago is accurate.
Yeah, Giza Death Star is something getting mentioned quite a bit, that it was a structure that was eventually weaponized that caused a giant war. Now, those Christian listeners would have probably don't know, but the Tower of Babel, the Tower of Babel, can you guess what the Tower of Babel was?
I mean,
that reached out into the heavens?
The big comet hit one of the gas giants, Shoemaker-Levy. They thought the Earth only got hit every 20 million years or so by a giant meteor. Now we know it's every 100,000 or so. And with satellites, we can see giant craters all over the Earth that have just silted in and grown in, or have lakes in them. So what we're being told about the age of the Earth, all this stuff, we really don't know. The Big Bang Theory has been disproven. It just goes on and on and on. But this is just simply amazing because it is exactly in the lore what has been passed down.
I don't think it's exactly in the lore. I disagree with him on that.
And it's just simply gargantuan.
He does look healthier these days.
It is so huge. Wait till you see this. I mean, it's just amazing. It's not just these giant tubular structures and all these coils going down. Then they're on top giant blocks looks like solid blocks. And I've said this forever. Why don't they use ground penetrating radar? Well, it's gotten stronger and stronger and more sophisticated. And so now they're able to, imagine what the government has, but even private corporations shoot down into this mountain of artificially constructed stone. And we learn that it is just the capstone. The pyramid itself is the capstone for a giant.
It was the civilization of ancient Israel, of course.
Giant subterranean complex. And so I want to play it. There's a lot of scientists boiling it down in others. You can just go to X.
Oh, don't worry, Goyeth. He's going to connect it to Israel eventually.
Treading the top of it and look up the discoveries at the Giza Pyramid complex. But I think two of the best boil downs, I watched seven or eight of them before we shot this, is one by Greg Reese. It's excellent. And then but the one we're going to play first is Jay Anderson also did a really good job. But when you go and actually can watch the scientist presentation, you know, they don't get into the history or the energy that these pyramids are just the tip of the iceberg of what is going on right beneath them. And again, even with modern excavation things, some of these stones and blocks are so giant, so perfectly done. There's wonder and discovery and mysteries about so many things that we're not just looking at us. Folks, that balloon, which we now know was a spy balloon, obviously, because they reconstructed it and got pieces of it up from the ocean after they shot it down off the coast of the East Coast. That's nothing compared to satellites, folks, okay? On helicopters can do some of the structures. Then there's giant blocks under them that are gigantic.
All right, I want to hear.
So incredible.
Okay, hold on here. Let's hear what he has to say. Did I watch this the other day? Let's see if there's anything new. So Alex is saying the big deal is the size. That's true. It's not nothing small. It's gigantic. The big deal is also they revealed the smaller one. The largest one and the smallest one, it has not been revealed what's underneath them. I would think the largest one would have even something larger, maybe? We'll have to see.
What has just been announced in relation to the pyramids at the Giza Plateau and the plateau itself is so incredible, so awe-inspiring and narrative-shattering that I have been sitting here for the last hour trying to wrap my head around the implications of what we would...
They're saying the globalists hid this from you? Yeah, they did. All the factions, Jew, Gentile alike, they hid it from you.
We're just told. So this is pretty much breaking news because the new findings were announced on the 16th of March at a press conference held...
Black Hebrew Israelites built it.
...by the team who were studying the Great Pyramid of Giza with a non-invasive technology that was first developed by Filippo Biondi and Corrado Malanga called Synthetic Aperture Radar Doppler Tomography. So this was used to explore the internal structure of the Great Pyramid of Giza. And this method leverages the analysis of micro movements typically generated by background seismic activity to achieve a high resolution, full 3D tomographic imagery of the pyramid's interior and subsurface components. The recent findings from deploying this technology are nothing short of mind-blowing, because what's been discovered is that there are huge structures coming down from the base of the pyramid deep into the bedrock, in fact over 600 meters deep, which then connects to structures that extend up to 2 kilometers below the surface of the ground. 2 kilometers, massive internal structures connected to the base of the pyramid and extending deep down. This is what we know so far. Utilizing high-resolution radar images from Capella Space and Umbra, which are two private companies that specialize in satellite-based synthetic aperture radar imaging, this has allowed researchers to create a 3D model of the internal structure of the Great Pyramid of Giza. Now, this model has revealed a previously unknown chamber with 5 horizontal levels and a sloping roof, which in of itself is an architectural design unlike any previously documented in the Giza Pyramid. But the most shocking discovery lies beneath the surface, below ground level. Radar tomography has identified vertical cylindrical structures extending for hundreds of meters beneath the pyramid. There are 8 of these cylindrical wells arranged in 2 parallel rows, descending to an astonishing depth of 648 meters. even more intriguing, at the base of these structures are two massive cubic formations measuring approximately 80 meters in diameter. The tomographic data suggests that these are vertical wells with intricate spiral pathways. Now, this design not only implies a functional purpose, but also a level of sophisticated engineering that completely blows the dynastic Egyptian model out of the water.
That's the main thing. That's the challenge here. What are they going to tell us next? Now, I there's no reason to assume this is false. It's science. The paper came out. It didn't get any attention. And then, of course, this just blew out because of the size of the structure. It's not that there's something small underneath there. These things are massive. 2 kilometers. Or, I'm sorry, what did he say? 600 kilometers? 600 meters? The size and the scale is just ridiculous. Let's see, a gas chamber operator, black aliens with spaceships built the pyramid. Alex Jones, exactly. Who knows? It's going to be something. Don't trust. I mean, listen, the science is there, but their narrative is what I'm looking at. And I wonder what they're going to do this next with. What are you going to shock us with next? You going to say something about the dark side of the moon? Is the moon the actual ark that brought the Aryans from our lost civilization to this shithole with all the brown people? give me something good here. Give me something good. Spring-loaded pyramids. Well, it's almost like an analog version of Tesla, where they're trying to pick up energy from the actual Earth. The Earth's vibrations, as well as rotation. And, I mean, Giza Death Star says very blatantly that in this particular ancient war, which you've all heard of, you all know elements of this war. It doesn't matter what mythology you're into, you've heard elements. In this particular war, it did happen. There were real players, is what he has a PhD in early church history. So what he believes is that, like, it happened, this particular ancient war, whatever you want to call it, good and evil, God and the devil, angels and the devil, some call it extraterrestrials, interdimensional, plasma entities, so on and on we go. But this war happened, and one of the things the war was fought over was this hit a Tower of Babel moment where they went so far technologically, something up there, something in the heavens stepped in and put it down in a very violent fashion. He believed it was over this particular structure. Basically, he calls it Giza Death Star because it actually, in his belief, that this particular energy resonator of whatever you want to describe it, actually turned the planet into like a Death Star where they could do whatever they wanted to do. Now, we just know it's there and there's something massive there, much larger than I thought. We don't know anything else for sure, but it brings up the mythology. It is the one structure on this planet that sticks out like a sore thumb. I mean, the pyramids in South America are nothing compared to this thing as far as engineering goes and what's underneath it as of right now. As of right now. Primitive humans all built pyramid-shaped structures because they didn't have the engineering nor materials to build tall structures in any other way. That's true in many different societies. These are fairly sophisticated. These stick out. Plus the finish on these, the finish on those, these particular, the capstone, the things, for instance, these pyramids, when Napoleon saw them, when the ancient Greeks saw them, when the Romans saw them, they were just extraordinary. Eternal joggers, there you go. Fascinating stuff, though. I keep on bringing you guys this. This is significant. I expected them to find a lost chamber with some copper scrolls, and then I'd be figuring out, are they bullshitting me or not? But rolling out actual scientists with actual way to see underneath it and only looking underneath the second biggest one. They didn't look underneath the big one. This is the second one. And again, the three pyramids are aligned with the Orion's Belt. For those that don't know, the Giza Plateau has had nothing built on it except post-September 11th, 2001, right after September 11, 2001, they commissioned the Grand Pyramid, the Grand Museum of Egypt. Just so you know something about your history. It is significant because the fights over a particular bust. The Grand Museum in Egypt was one of the biggest biggest museums to be built in the history of the world. It was built at breakneck speed post September 11, 2001 for some reason. They gunned it into high gear. It is the largest thing to be built on the Giza Plateau since the pyramids themselves. The Grand Pyramid. Let me look it up. Let me show you guys what I'm talking about. I've covered it before. There was a lot of intrigue over... And the pyramid, it looks like the particular museum is dedicated to a particular... Dedicated to a particular young pharaoh called King Tut, who you guys have heard of. King Tut himself is insignificant in the history of Egypt. However, his father, Akhenaten, is a big deal. In so much of the Amarna dynasty, King Tut is a big deal because he's the only Egyptian pharaoh that they found his loot. Someone out of London went and found his loot. But there was a giant fight over a particular bust, very famous bust of a woman called Nefertiti, who was one of the wives of Akhenaten. Akhenaten had more than one wife, but one of his wives was a pretty striking lady named Nefertiti. And the bust of Nefertiti is quite famous in a place called Germany because it's the only thing post-World War II that the Germans won't let it, I mean, you go to a museum and see it, but they won't let it travel. And this museum wanted that bust back because the lore had always been that it was King Tut was the son of Akhenaten and Nefertiti, when in fact it ends up that King Tut is the son of Akhenaten and his sister. So what's interesting about the bust of Nefertiti, it was the only thing in Hitler's office that they haven't burned down, stomped out, gotten rid of. The bust of Nefertiti displayed prominently in Adolf Hitler's office. And that is significance of the Grand Museum in Egypt. Now, this is just intrigue. But they were demanding that the Germans give it back and this or that, and the Germans always come back and say Nefertiti doesn't travel. They won't let it out. And it was somewhat of something, I'm sure most of you guys have never heard of this stuff unless you're longtime listeners of mine, but it's somewhat of intrigue to me because the Germans go out of their way to destroy anything attached to Adolf Hitler. I mean, old hotels, old stomping grounds, any type of Nazi artifacts. You already know the score. But the bust of Nefertiti is something very different, something very unique. And you guys can see this is the Grand Museum. Obama has visited this when it first opened. Warren Buffett. I don't know. I'm just giving you guys the direction this goes. Now, is this attached to the radar tomography and why they're doing that? I would imagine so. Because again, it's on the Giza Plateau. It's a very big deal. They're not talking about this. But it's a very big deal. It is basically a museum dedicated, in my opinion, to King Tut from the looks of things. But anyways, there's a little bit of a deep dive for you. So I'll be paying attention to it. And the Egyptian history, especially the Amarna dynasty, appears to be of particular interest to the English-speaking world elite specifically. Because they're the ones that found, you know, London sponsored the field trip over there that found the tomb of King Tut. On and on it goes, the intrigue between Amarna, Egypt, and that particular dynasty, the 18th dynasty, and our current political class, our current oligarchy to some extent. The Germans, while they sponsored expeditions everywhere, they historically really looked at Sumer, ancient Sumer, more so than Egypt, but nonetheless, they dug up Amarna as well, none less than I think it was one of the Prussian kings. Wilhelm II? I don't know. I forget which Bavarian ruler sponsored the first Amarna expedition. Intriguing, though. You know? It's some type of, do I think it's like a New World Order type globalist narrative? Oh, absolutely. 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 It's a pretty fascinating, it's a massive structure, though. I want to think the architect that won the contract is a European architect. You can look at part of it here. It's a pretty wild-looking structure. This is actually it with the pyramids in the background. Now, it is, if you go to Egypt, I don't know if you can visit it. You might be able to on some days. I don't know what the deal is with the Grand Museum right now. I don't know if you can visit it. I would have to look that up. I want to get on with the show. I'm just trying to bring you guys interesting things you probably aren't aware of. But this is a very big deal, whatever's going on with it, at least to the elites. Whatever happens in Egypt is always a big deal. Why they want to keep control of Egypt. It's a big deal for Israel as well. It borders Israel. It would cause a lot of problems if Egypt ever broke out from underneath the establishment and the Muslim Brotherhood came to power, which one day it happened for a few days until they got overturned. That would have been disaster for Israel, I would imagine. I didn't spend a decade radicalizing myself on Nietzsche, racist, reactionary, fascist political views for some libtard to call me a fucking Republican. It's a comment of the day. Comment of the day over there on Twitter. What do you guys think? What if they flooded the plateau to move the stones? To move stones? Oh, you're talking about how the ancient builders did it? I don't know. The structures underneath it now are so big, the whole entire thing will be rethought up. But I'm guessing they have a narrative for that, too. They tend to be like, you know, 5-6 moves ahead with their planned narratives of giving us the truth and kind of like just not giving us the whole truth. It's true. It's just not true in the way you think it's true type of deals, you know. Yeah, I spent a decade radicalizing myself on Nietzsche, racist, reactionary, fascist political views for some. I did not spend for some fascist political views for some libtard to call me a fucking Republican. The kids are learning. You're overthinking it. They had Toyotas. That's what I'm thinking. Why not just spaceships, you know? Hold on. Let's hear this one. An Instagram influencer, oh, God, Chloe Koich, was followed back to her hotel room in Dublin. Is she Irish? Let's listen.
Ever put out there? So I want to
All right. She's a cute girl, obviously. Brunette.
So this video is going to be very different to what I usually upload, but probably the most important video.
Definitely Irish accent.
So I want to tell you all about an incident that happened to me when I was out there tonight with my friends. And like, I don't want this video or this story to be anything about like me. And I don't want people to think that like, I'm like, oh my God, listen to what happened. Me. And I also, when I did.
It's 15 minutes long. Tell us who followed you home. What happened?
You insert a clip that I did get from the night. I don't want the video to be about that person.
Was he Jeet or black?
It's more about the situation. I just want people to be very, very aware, especially young girls and boys, when they are out and like that, just to be safe. And like, to be honest, we'll get to the point, but I am going to block out the person in the video because, as I said, I don't want it to be about them. I want it to be just like, I just want to give awareness to like what could possibly happen. Explain what happened and then we can kind of like go through it.
Oh my God, she's taking forever.
So basically, I was out the other night with my two friends in Dublin, and I am going to mention that I was in Dublin because I feel like that plays a big part because I don't really know my way around Dublin. I was staying in a hotel, so like I wasn't like I was at home and I was coming home after a night out or whatever. So I was in.
Does she have runes on her finger? Are those like Nordic runes? I can't tell what's on her fingers.
Dublin, we were in a bar and we were leaving before the place closed. So like when we walked outside, there wasn't really many people like around. So we're very like thorough with our safety. Like we, especially myself and Lauren, like we'll make sure that we are contacting each other when we're in a taxi, contact each other when we get home, whatever. Like I feel like myself and Lauren, like we have that down to a T that we are very, very safe. And like what I'm about to tell you, we couldn't have been more safe with this whole thing. But anyway, so we were standing outside. So it was myself, Lauren and Shane. Shane got into a taxi, he headed home, so I just wanted to make sure, like, also, this was Shane's first time out in Dublin as well, so, like, we were kind of being very protective and being like, okay, we need to make sure that he gets home first, so.
Was he gay?
Oh, he got into the taxi, and then my hotel was literally about 50 meters away, like, I was like, oh, Lauren, you get into your taxi now, because I'm literally only staying over there in blah, 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 and I said the name of the hotel. That is probably my biggest mistake. And I know I keep thinking back and blaming myself.
We got all good.
And I shouldn't. So, so I said out loud where I was saying, and there was a guy standing really close to us. But, like, I'm not going to lie, I didn't really notice him until what happened next. But there was a guy kind of lingering around. But I'm not going to lie, and, like, I don't want to be like, oh, my God, I'm, like, everyone knows who I am or whatever. But, like, when you're out around and you're around people that are known on social media, people do kind of, like, stand close. So I didn't really notice him. Like, that's just something that I've kind of gotten used to. But obviously I'll be more aware next time. So this guy, anyway, whoever he is, heard me say the name of my hotel. So I said to Lauren, I'm only staying over there. You get into your taxi. She's like, I'm going to stand here. So she literally had the door of the taxi. Also, can I mention that she mentioned to the taxi driver where she's staying. So, like, people also heard that. These are things that I would have never, ever been aware of, but I'm going to be aware of now. Like, you need to just keep your voice down and, like, don't tell anyone around. Don't announce where you're staying. So she had, can I just mention, in the milliseconds of her taxi taking off and my door about to close, this man slid into my hotel, into the door.
Ooh.
And, like, my point, the reason why I'm telling this story, obviously it's really, really scary, but, like, we couldn't have been more safe. Like, we did.
Why don't you tell us about the man?
I went in, waved at Lauren. I was walking to the lift and I could hear, like, he didn't open the door again. He slid in the gap. So I could hear him, like, getting stuck in the door. And I turned around and I was like, oh my God, that's the guy that was standing outside. So I kind of, like, rented a lift. And my shoes were falling off me because they were slingback. Girls will know. They were just kind of, like, flopping. So I ran in anyway. Also want to mention, there was nobody on the reception of the hotel. That they have 24-hour reception. There was no one around. There was no security. There was nobody when I walked in the door around. And then when I saw that guy, I was like, I need to get into the lift. My mom was upstairs in the hotel room. All I was thinking of was, I want to get to my mom. So I went to the lift, got into the lift, and I pressed closed door straight away. I was like, literally, like, you know when you're in there, you're like, closed door. The door was closing. And then in slides, like, slid in the gap. It, like, jammed on him. And at that stage, I was like, I'm less standing in a lift now. This, like, I didn't really know what to do next. Also, I'm going to insert the video here. So straight away, I thought I need to record this. Like, I was going to ring my...
I can't listen anymore. She's safe. I don't know. This is like a big deal on Instagram, though. Kind of funny. Oh, if any of you guys found out a picture of the guy, you know, that could be a little bit interesting, I guess. Let me keep pulling on the news. We got a lot of stuff to cover here. Oh, man. It's coming up. Apparently, it's a big deal on Instagram. It happens. But nothing bad happened to her. I don't know how much smarter she is as a result because she's apologizing too much. You know, she didn't say what Desi Mac would say if something like this happened. I had to get my shotgun out because a nog was trying to get me or something. You know, it's nothing along those lines, you know. It's got to be something. I mean, you would imagine if it was like some kind of like white British dude, she would have made that very clear. The fact that she's not making it clear and apologizing, you know, is a person of color. Arrest made in a hate crime murder of Scott DeWhite Habermel, 63, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, back in the May of 2024. This was brutal. Three Latinos aged 11, 13, and 15. Do you guys remember this? Videotaped themselves intentionally hitting Habermel with a car and then posted the video on the internet. You guys remember this at all? This was like brutal stuff. So they videotaped them hitting Habermel with a car, running him over with a car, and then posted the video on the internet, and he ended up dead, obviously. So there's arrest made over this. Wonder what took him so long. Yeah, another dude dead because of illegal. I mean, these guys were young. Yeah, let's just run over a white man. Age 11, 13, and 15. So much for they were just kids. 11-year-old kid running over someone in a car? Yeah. It happens. South America, I guess. Yeah. can they put them in jail as adults? That's a great question. I don't know. It would be something in New Mexico. You can for certain crimes under the age of 18 in some states, but it's different state by state. Now, if it was a federal hate crime charge or something, you know, this is a good question. A lot of times they keep them in juvenile jails until they're 18, and then they'll have to serve the rest of that time. Let's say they get life, they'll have to serve another 17 years or whatever. You're 15, you got to serve 3 years in juvie. Once you turn 18, you go to the big house for another 17. Let's say they get 20 years. I don't know how it works there, but they're cracking down everywhere because of illegals are trying to crack down. We'll follow this, though. I'm curious to see how this goes. The comments, of course, are lighting it up. This type of thing is far too common. This was especially brutal because you have like kids, like, okay, they're just Latino kids. They're just little kids. They're just little boys. Just having fun at 11, just driving around accidentally. 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, 11-year-old are cruising around in a car just accidentally running over a white guy. Oh, is it intentional? And then posting the video on the interwebs. Oh, they're just innocent kids, guys. Yeah, I don't know anything about the guy's background that they ran over. I know what you're talking about. The cop in Las Vegas that was ran over. A similar situation happened in Las Vegas, but they weren't this young, with a retired cop. I don't know anything about this fellow. Obviously, he didn't deserve that. That particular fellow in Las Vegas was on a bike. This was they just ran this guy down. But cars are dangerous weapons in the hands of some people. You know, what gets traction on social media these days is rather intriguing. And I got a few tweets to show you. I've already got my first warning. I've been basically putting up a few, three or four things a day on X. Not so much Telegram, but X, just to see what's working right now, what's not working, what's getting traction, what isn't, what I can post, what I can't post. You can really only tell once you start going out there. And I know that I have to watch what I say about Jews because I've already got the warning over that. They've already restricted a tweet or two over that one. They didn't suspend the account. They restricted the tweet and told me if I need to take it down or whatever. So you can't say anything. The Jews are really sensitive right now, guys. More so than normal from the sounds of things. But I haven't been doing this in quite a while. And so I'm doing things like this. You see, a British white people set to become a minority in Birmingham, says the report. Birmingham, one of the most murderous places in the country. You know, this is kind of... two reports, so many months apart. It's kind of funny. It's 6 years old, but it's rather entertaining. They're diversity posts, basically. Diversity shit posting. This is an old one, but it's a good one. Why War in Iraq is Right for America by Ben Shapiro, August 11, 2005. You got to remind people. A lot of these young guys weren't around in 2005. Ben Shapiro never saw a war in the Middle East he didn't want, especially if America was getting involved on behalf of Israel, and the Israeli lobby thought it was good for the Jews, and then there you go. But, you know, people have short memories. So when Shapiro is calling for war against Iran, well, there you go. Now, this one kind of surprised me. This one's closing in on, what, 446,000 views? The things that get attention... That are allowed to get attention, because the war over free speech was simply a war over who's going to control our speech, or what the war over who could control what we call free speech. And Elon Musk appears to have won that, sort of, sort of. You know, you have that other element there, but some things you can talk about. You can talk about certain white identity things like this. This one got a lot of attention, so I assume that they allowed it to. Because other stuff I put out doesn't get a lot of attention, or I get warnings over it, especially if it's Jewish related. So it's kind of like, you know, Ben Shapiro stuff, I didn't get a warning over that, but you get the picture. But let's look at what gained a lot of traction in the last, I don't know, this is the last 24 hours. And this is an old tweet by 6 million, real 6 million. I think it's been banned off Twitter for quite a while. I could genuinely go the rest of my life without a single interaction with a minority again, quote unquote, and die happy. This bizarre relationship they have with us, where they hate us and want to be as close to us as possible, is fucking weird. Now, this is semi-viral. I don't know why. I got a whole filter. I grab stuff and I have it on my phone. And a few times a day, I'm putting stuff up to see what's going on out there, who responds to what and what they say. And this one actually surprised me because it's pretty tame. For you guys, it would be very tame. I think what people, the reason it resonated is because it was allowed to. We have all kinds of stuff that resonates out there, obviously. But this was allowed to. It's benign. It's relatively benign. And it's stating a truth that most white people agree with. Male Monster says, I agree 100% with the tweet. There's no doubt about that. It seems like a lot more white people agree with us, Male Monster, than even I thought. Because there's no one really, well, I shouldn't say, I'm using hyperbole. I haven't looked at all the responses. It's an insane amount of responses. And it's an insane amount, it's an insane kind of metrics for this type of benign tweet. Yeah, I mean, the best you could get for someone, this is odd framing. They don't want to be close to us. They want to acquire our land, resources, and political power, which obviously is a close proximity to us. I don't know, you got some faggots on there too, twisting and turning, you know, dissecting everything. But I think this is because if white countries removed all minorities, quote unquote, the countries would still function and even thrive, and they know that deep down. They would be a lot better. But this type of thing is just kind of like, okay, you got all these people agreeing with it. Some were angry that it, you know, how dare someone say something like that? It's just an honest response, probably a few years back. Random response from 6 million. A good one. Putting out the feelers to see who's alive, who's out there, who's on what side, you know. You know. The contributions of the melanin gifted are beyond measure. Why is segregation only bad when whites do it? Odin. Odin speaks. That's his name. Odin on X. They hate us because they ain't us, the Nogs say. Well, it's this weird relationship we have, and it's widely been noticed. It's just a matter of someone taking action over it. The powers that be are not. Definitely don't want that happening. They want diversity. Just, you know, they want kind of like a 1950s Leave It to Beaver type of diversity, which ain't going to happen. A Jewish mayor threatens theater over screening film documenting Israeli atrocities in the West Bank. All right, so they're threatening theaters over a film screening atrocities in the West Bank, and the atrocities in the West Bank are horrific. This is Miami Beach, Florida. You know, this is par for the course right now. I think it's an overreaction, though. There's a lot of overreactions coming from the tribe, and they tend to do this if you know their history. They overreact. I appreciate you guys tuning in and supporting the show. It's just another overreaction. It's like the tweet that I got a warning on X over was simply showing the Hollywood film, I mean the Disney cartoon of the Big Bad Wolf, which it wasn't the Big Bad Wolf. It was like a merchant changed into a Big Bad Wolf. And I just showed the before and after, before World War II and after World War II, the cartoon, and they immediately, you know, limited the visibility of the tweet. So they're definitely watching everything. Now, I don't, this woman right here, this Lily Gaddis, she doesn't get hammered too much, and she's on the juice 24/7, so she's kind of like a bright spot, or most of you would start cooking up a conspiracy now. But let's look at this. 6 million cigarettes in your, this is a comparable tweet. That one I showed you, 450,000 views, those are actual eyes on that. And this one is 472,000, almost 473,000 views. This is Hestia Cigarettes or something like that. 6 million cigarettes in 4 years, more like 271,000. Now, that's pretty spicy. She's obviously referring to the Holocaust. She's saying it wasn't 6 million. It was more like 271,000 is what was recorded. I don't know where she's at. Maybe Florida, somewhere in the south. I don't know. Apartment, maybe? I don't know. And she's there. She's got her cigarettes. But I don't know if I can get away with doing something like that, though. She is, though, for the moment. I find that they generally shut these people down. I don't know if she's monetized, though. I would like to know that. Yeah, they're posting Photoshops of her. This is her, Lily Coleman. I don't care what you guys think. I'm a proud Jew and stand with Israel. They're, like, harassing her. They think she's Jewish after she disrupted the Groyper thing. Or they think she disrupted it. They keep harassing her that she's Jewish. You know, it's a typical online thing. It's just now just not in white national circles in America. It's now like a white-wide phenomenon where everyone's calling everyone a Jew. It's par for the course. It is what it is. How times change. And you can't even be a mainstream commentator now or try to be on the 6 million without getting called a Jew yourself. Plague of highly infectious scabies is sweeping Britain, spread by the very common activity. Even worse, the skin bugs are becoming resistant to drugs. But here's how you can beat it. I wonder why an highly infectious scabies plague is sweeping Britain. I wonder if it has anything to do with the quote-unquote invasion of Britain. They really wanted her to be a Jew for a few days. Yeah, they're just trolling her. They're just, you know, it's just some trolls online. These people start dividing the social space in a very complicated way, meaning that there's, you know, there's our side of that's going to rule the West, and then it's this side that's going to rule the West, and on it goes. And the Jews, of course, laugh because they're the ones ruling the West now, and they don't plan on giving up control anytime soon. Grimm's fairy tales had a lot of scary goblins. Yeah, we have a lot of cool fairy tales. We're going to get to that here in a minute or two. I thought this was, this is disturbing. Imagine being this much of an asshole that you would actually do this to somebody trying to do their job. And imagine that young man didn't want to just shoot the Queen's guards here. I don't know if this is technically the Queen's guards. They're saying the horse guards. But imagine being this much of an asshole. Horse Guards, Whitehall, London. I don't know what the difference between the Queen's Guards and the Horse Guards are. This will be a question for Mark Collette when he comes on the show again. Oh, I'm sure he got screamed at eventually, but why do this, though? I still remember the video of that black family with that little black kid got too close and nearly got hammered out of the way by the Queen's Guards. Make way for the Queen's Guards! Really want to mess with these guys, but I mean, he's actually touching him. Think he'd blow a fucking fuse. Then one day, for no reason whatsoever, right? It always happens. But, I mean, why? Why? It's almost unexplainable. I don't know. Poor white guy. Now, I'm hoping that what comes next is he, like, slams the butt of his gun into this fellow or something. Just make way for the Queen's Guards, whatever they have to do. You know, this is just, there's a reason. There's a reason that they've been kicked out of a few places, like 109. And that video there might be shown one day as a great example of going too far. Doing that in any society en masse will get your asses kicked. Not respectful. It's not polite. I would never dream of doing something like that. You know, Western females generally get what they ask for. What are we talking about? Are we talking about women? We're talking about white women. We have to have non-whites for because they want the endless Gibbs and the indoor plumbing. Well, could be onto something there. I have a feeling it's for two words, white genocide. Because without them, you wouldn't have that. Now, I haven't done any deep dives in this latest Snow White, other than a lot of people don't like it. Snow White opens to a tepid 48 million opening weekend. Disney's latest remake, all these stupid remakes, faces long odds to break even theatrically, while Warner Brothers' Alto Nights bombs with a $3 million opening. They keep on doing remakes of classics they can't get right. Well, they're getting it right from their perspective, and you can see how stupid this is. Kevin Sorbo, the left can't make movies. Oh, Kevin, it's much more simple than that. The comments we're getting on is, I'm sure the comments rustled some jimmies. It's not the left that can't make movies. So bad. It's so bad. It's just sad, sad, sad. This was the last Snow White they made? All right. Why did they make Snow White brown? This is the current Snow White? I think the current one's Jewish, right? I mean, she's not. For all I know, both of them he could be showing is Jewish. Just all the remakes of Snow White, the recent ones, are terrible. You know, they just keep remaking it. It's Jews trying to rewrite history post-white people. Yeah. That was AI, Tim. This one right here is AI? Which one is AI? And that actor, I figured the dwarves were AI. You're saying the whole entire thing is AI? I don't know. Yeah, they're all odd. All the recent stuff has a bunch of odd-looking characters, if you ask me. Her wicked stepmother is Jewish. There you go. I thought this was an intriguing post by Dr. Ricardo Duchesne. Almost all the fairy tales in history were written by Europeans. Interesting point. With themes that take us back into the collective consciousness of whites. The aim of Disney is to destroy the collective consciousness of whites, of the white race, by redefining European fairy tales, mixing them up with anti-white woke values and foreign characters. We must keep in mind the difference between, one, anonymous folk tales from around the globe that represent basic human emotions, joy, grief, fear, jealousy, wonder, and that communities pass through the generations by word of mouth, and two, European fairy tales, which were also anonymous stories, but which were eventually written down, particularly by the Grimm brothers, Jacob and Wilhelm, exactly as the people told them, about 300 tales. We must also remember that Hans Christian Andersen wrote new original tales and formally launched the literary genre of pure fantasy with stories about magical characters such as fairies, wizards, elves, trolls, gnomes, goblins, which reflected millennial myths, legends, and fables from the collective consciousness of Europeans. One more disastrous effect of immigrant race mixing is the alteration and effervescence of the collection of memories of whites. These stories inherently European and cannot be changed one bit. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Emperor's New Clothes, Little Mermaid, The Nightingale, The Steadfast Tin Soldier, The Red Shoes, The Princess and the Pea, The Snow Queen, The Ugly Duckling, The Little Match Girl, and Thumbelina. Yeah, this is the actress talking about how she was scared of the original. Got to remake stuff to make it good and safe. For non-whites. Disturbing. Yeah, we've been putting up with it a long time. The only good news is a lot of people are panning it. It's not making any money, and people stop putting up with it. Speaking of not putting up with it, here's another thing I did over the weekend. And you guys know this is going to get hits. That's why every week I'm going to find one of these at least once a week and post it. Here is the whitest thing you'll see all day. I did this last week to Big Hits, and I'm doing this again. It's just white people saving animals. I know it's so freaking basic, but God, does it have legs. Now, this one, let's look at it. It's from, what is it from? 12:39 p.m. yesterday afternoon, March 22nd. So yesterday afternoon, it's got 263,000 views, and it's starting to die down a little bit. But I figure, you know, X will probably let me show the whitest thing you've seen all day with whites saving animals. And let's check out what these white guys are saving. And, of course, whites are chiming in exactly how you guys have responded to this. Like, okay. And these are white guys out in a boat, and they see a turtle all messed up. So they got to help it because they're white.
Yeah, Sophie.
Do you want to try and grab that boy?
Yeah.
This is TikTok.
It's all wrapped up.
You have to be on boat.
Yep. Boys are just jumping in.
Yeah, we need a nod.
Good Australian guys.
Board, hold up. I can spin this around.
Yeah, make sure it's just twisted up there.
Yeah, twist that, Yeti.
Okay.
You can hold his arm up.
Yep.
Twist. Okay.
Yeah,
no, turtle's pretty lucky.
I think he gets that now.
Yeah, I think he understands.
Now, someone chimed into the comments. Yeah. Well, let me play this first.
Easy, free.
Alrighty. Here we go.
See ya, big fella.
Woo!
That's good.
Clean up your rubbish, guys. Now, someone chimed in the comments that their buddy actually saved a giant sea turtle like this, and it took a big chunk out of his leg. They can bite, especially if they're afraid and injured. I've seen a lot of whites get injured trying to help animals. No doubt about that.
Don't have one on board.
You spend time in an ER, God forbid, for any length of time, you'll notice a lot of people, whites, getting injured helping animals. So it's a shocking number.
You're all right, mate. Helping your big dog.
I think he gets that now.
Yeah, I think he understands.
Yeah,
he's free.
Alrighty.
Here
we go.
See ya, big fella.
But, you know, you see so much anti-white media, so many things that are terrible about whites, but no one ever talks about what we do that's great. The animals love us. They just can't. They can't tell all the other people on the planet to fuck off. Stop littering. Stop putting stuff in trash and leave the white people alone, because without them, we're screwed. You know? I saw a guy save a Labrador from being stuck in the ice and got it in the face. Yeah. Well, an injured animal is extremely dangerous. I've seen this time and time again. If you go to ER for any length of time, God forbid, you have something in your family, you have to go to the ER, and you have to go to the ER quite a bit. Well, I spent about a decade having to rush someone to the ER. So, when I was on my shift with that person, and you see this all the time. Yeah, I saw a dog almost rip a woman. Well, it looked like her arm was being ripped off. She tried to save a dog, or was it a he? I've probably seen this multiple times. It was a dog stuck on the freeway and injured on the median of the freeway. Stopped to get the dog, and the dog ends up hammering them. And they did get the dog. They saved the dog, but then they had to come and get, like, you know, 90 stitches. Yeah. A fox died, getting spicy on what you guys would save and what you wouldn't save. I think the turtle would agree with you, Fox Die, though. The turtle would agree with you. Yeah, flashback to 2014. White genocide will never be a mainstream talking point. Longtime listeners will remember that. I heard that for about 10 years. Actually, I heard that for about 13, 14 years, to be honest with you. I heard that for a number of years. Oh, genocide will never be a mainstream talking point. Yeah. It will be. It doesn't work that way. Stuff doesn't work that way. Not with the new form of communication. Now Elon needs to use his billions to help the Boers. That's the problem. Elon won't use his monies to help the Boers. It's definitely his freaking problem. 100%. Very few people know that there is a major political party in South Africa that is actively promoting white genocide. The video below was just yesterday, a whole arena chanting about killing white people. A month ago, the South African government passed a law legalizing taking property from white people at will with no payment. Where is the outrage? Where is the no coverage by the legacy media? Starlink can't get a license to operate in South Africa simply because I'm not black. How is that right? Like I pointed out in the beginning, this is about resources. He's upset because he can't get a contract for Starlink because he's white. Maybe the first time he actually felt it as a white man, but he's upset because he can't make money. If it helps out the Boers, that's good. But what has to happen is they have to be prepared to help them out militarily. That's where this is dangerous. No, there's probably going to be several business collectives, especially with white guys that want to, you know, stop white genocide for various different monetary reasons. And if it helps the Boers, that's fine with me, but they have to be willing to send in the military. What shocked me about this is that actually guys like Tucker actually concluded with, I forget the Boer's name, or the actual South African guy's name, the one that was on with Tucker, the one that our guys don't like over there. I think he's married to a Jewish woman or something along those lines. But anyways, that even Tucker understood that they had to be backed up militarily. That the words are going to just make the situation more dangerous because it isn't going to stop the Boers from losing their property or from being involved in a war, and you're going to have to step in and do something. So I think what's motivating him, though, is quite simply property, plant, and equipment. South Africa has enormous natural resources and enormous potential, especially as an outlet for Africa. I mean, so does Zimbabwe. So do Rhodesia, basically. And they don't want this to go the way of Rhodesia. They want to go some kind of new multiracial model, whatever, and get rid of the communists and their woke agenda, their woke white genocide agenda. I don't know how you do that without force. I think they might realize it too. So are they going to make an example out of communist, the black South African Communist Party? I don't know. I don't know what they got planned. I'm curious to see. I just know it puts the Boers in danger if they're not going to send in Marines and stuff like that or give them military support. Because well, he definitely jumped into the situation. Chinese have a lot of natural resource contracts with South Africa. Chinese businesses are all over Africa. Africa is very close to China. As the West goes into consolidation, if the Chinese want land, it's going to be like, if you guys ever seen the movie Black Hawk Down, you get a look at, you get an idea of the Somali coast. It's not, none of these places are defended. The Chinese are very close by. They could roll on down and just take a whole chunk. And no one could really do anything about it if it wasn't attached to America or Russia or Europe or something. You get the picture. But they could do it very easily, and they would do it under the right circumstances. People think the Chinese would take America or Canada. They'll do something, they'll do things opportunistically if they can. They'll take anything they can opportunistically, but if they're going to take land, it's going to be in Africa. That's also the what I think the Indians, as in the Hindus, would take land in Africa because they have land claims there and they hate the blacks as well. I mean, they really hate them. Elon tells employees to hold stock while management dumps it. Jewish Commerce Secretary Lutnick goes on Fox News and tells people to buy the stock. Trump uses the White House as the dealership. Nah, can't have anything to do with money. Yeah. Well, they're worried about Elon Musk for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know what Elon plans on doing. I mean, I know he's running for dictator of the universe or something. I don't know how you could be white from South Africa and just now get it. But money's involved. People get things very quickly if money's involved. And I've often said, like I said in the beginning, that there's German business elites that have long been opposed to Turkish migrants and white genocide, not because they're on our side any more than Elon Musk is on our side, but because they think it's just bad for business. And you're not gonna wholesale replace Germans with Turks and end up with any type of giant business success out of Germany. It's just not going to be the same. We all know that. Yeah, he's upset. He's using a Starlink contract. He can't get a Starlink contract because he's white. Well, there's people dying there because they're white. But nonetheless, we'll keep watching the situation. I'm just curious to see, because Tucker actually surprised me in his interview that he actually said, well, you're going to have to be supported militarily because he can actually make a phone call to Donald Trump. And, yeah, they could easily make an issue, a human rights issue. And let's not forget South Africa pissed off Israel, or at least the black communists in South Africa. Many of the Boers are on very good terms with Israel. Many of the Boers do not, are leery of the Jews. But nonetheless, you get the picture. So anything can happen as long as it gives Boers self-determination and they can keep their land, and that's good news to me. But we don't trust anyone. I thought he had Boer Jack on a few weeks ago. I did have Boer Jack on. I'll have him on again, too, because, as things heat up, he's a guy you can really trust his opinion. He doesn't trust the Jews. He understands the JQ. He doesn't trust the Chinese. But at the same time, if something good can come out of the situation, safety for Boers, they get to keep their property, and they get self-determination because they need self-determination there. Orania, well, there could be a dozen Oranias. There could be a whole section. How about all of South Africa? Let's stop thinking small, but what's going on? Someone says they need help with stream settings. I probably wouldn't be the best, but I understand OBS a little bit. Now, Elon, when autism hits, this is pretty funny. This is going around everywhere. This is autism capital. We've got a lot of autistic people that watch this. Spurgs, if you will, are often associated with ethnocentric whites, a little bit autistic. It's not the end of the world. I don't know if Elon's medicated. I don't know any medicated autistic people that watch this show, but we got some Spurgs, meaning Asperger's. Callaghan is trying to stream on his own, okay? I'm not familiar with Callaghan the streamer, other than that's the one that's like buddies with Ran, or was fighting with Ran, I think. Ran were duking it out. There's enormous number of good videos on YouTube for OBS, depending on his setup. There's an enormous number. It could be the biggest challenge you might have is bandwidth. If it's not bandwidth, it's just a matter of OBS settings. Now, Elon Musk has some kind of weird thing in his hand. He's showing off for a woman. Donald Trump is sitting there. It's all kind of weird. I don't know what to say about it other than it's weird. What do you guys make of this? What does chat say? Yeah, it's a bunch of silverware stuck together is what it is. Well, he's got it looks like a spoon and a knife and whatnot crisscrossed and stuck together, and he's holding it up with a pinky. He's trying to impress women. He's looking for another baby mama. We'll get to that in a minute. Sell your Nazi car. Tesla owner in Washington screamed at in-road rage incident. Owning a Tesla is dangerous, I guess. It's the shit libs and everyone else, whoever doesn't like Elon Musk, there's quite a few growing crowd of those people, are yelling about Teslas nonstop being Nazi cars. Well, I would just be worried about them burning down. If someone gave me one, I'd sell it for big money. But, the actual safety stats on it, I'm not entirely certain of, other than I've seen them, catch fire a lot due to those batteries. I just don't understand enough about the safety of electronic cars. But hell, even gas-powered cars were pretty dangerous when they first came out. Chick Rocking is probably a Jewess he's going to impregnate. Well, he's got his eyes on this one. Listen to this. This is a little bit eerie. This is Donald Trump's granddaughter. This is Kai Trump, who is Donald Trump's son, who's rumored to be the next president. And this is his daughter.
I'm going to win. Watch this.
Hold on. Let me jack this up for you. Let me jack the sound up.
I'm going to win. Watch this.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that was fast. I don't know.
So Elon got this one for me because they didn't make it at the time. Oh, my grandpa got me one. He got me like the souped up version. So it's 0.
She's in a cyber beast.
60 and 2.6
Cybertruck. 0 to 60 and 2.6 seconds. That is rocket fast.
Watch this.
You imagine Elon Musk getting you your first car or whatever?
Oh, shit. Yeah, that was fast. I don't know.
So Elon got this one for me because they didn't make it at the time. Oh, my grandpa got me one. He got me like the souped up version. So it's 0 to 60 in 2.6 seconds, which is insane.
Oh, is this 2.6 seconds?
2.6.
Oh, yeah, then you'd be 0 to 60 for sure.
So, like, my dad, I think his car is like 3.2 seconds or whatever. Smoked him. I'm going to win. Watch this.
Oh, shit. Yep, that was fast. I don't
that
know.
That was. So Elon got this one for me because they didn't make it at the time. My grandpa got me one. He got me the souped up version. So it's 0.16, 2.6 seconds, which is insane.
Oh, is this 2.6 seconds?
2.6.
Oh, yeah, then you beat me to 0.16.
Elon got it for. Well, it's just Elon. He's targeting another baby mom. I think we could be looking at his future wife right here. I think this could be it, Kai Trump. How old is she? I don't think she's in college yet. Let's see here. Let's see if we can find out about Kai Trump. I don't know anything about her, to be honest with you. I mean, other than, one of Trump's granddaughters. She's 17, okay. Eldest daughter of Donald Trump Jr. and Vanessa Hayden. Now, Vanessa Hayden, wow. She's looking a little rough. 47 years old. Marymount Manhattan College. She's Republican. Donald Trump Jr. divorced 2006. They've been divorced a while, huh? Divorced 2018, I guess. Sorry. Vanessa K. Pergolizzi. Grew up in a townhouse in the Upper East Side of Manhattan. All right. Charles Hayden and her mother, Bonnie K. Hayden, ran K Models. Don't know anything about her. Someone said she's part Jewish. And Del Channer. Yeah, it was in New York. You've got all these Vanessa Trump. What is her name? Vanessa K. Pergolizzi. You've got a lot in these areas that are a quarter, half, that type of thing. The wall hit her hard. Yeah, it did. That's for sure. Elon Musk, once a tacit backer of DEI, now focuses on anti-white bias. At least they capitalized white. Let's see if we can make them do that. Always capitalize white and always put all the other races in lower cap. Technically, white should be in lower cap, but since we're stated for extinction, I put it in caps. Now, this is significant. They rarely capitalize white, but they did so at the Washington Post in a headline. Now, this is a fluff piece. It's all bullshit. Hopefully he uses his billions to create a white ethnostate in South Africa, but I wouldn't hold my breath on that. I think you might end up dead if you tried to hold your breath on that. Married into the tribe, Trump's family was Christians. Yeah, it seems like he's in New York, right? I mean, think about growing up in New York and not being around Jews. That's impossible. We're Christians. Yeah, Trump's king of the Jews now. All right. Whistling Dixie on YouTube exposed how poorly the Cybertruck was built. I've heard mixed reviews. I've heard they're built like tanks, but Whistling Dixie is pretty hard. I've seen him, Lamborghinis are built pretty good these days, and I've seen Whistling Dixie tear one up. Those guys are nuts. But her mother is dating Tiger. Is that true? Yikes. Tiger Woods. Yikes. All these elites are degenerate. Where Starlink is and isn't available. Now, I know I have listeners that have Starlink because they have no other way to get internet in their areas, and it works quite well so far. Let's take a look at this Starlink map. Available, including wait list, North America. Look at all of South America. I did not know they were in South America. Greenland, Iceland, Europe, not in Russia. It's in parts of Africa, but not South Africa. Australia. Wow. Starlink. All those low-flying satellites cruising around. You'd think if we ever get into it with China or someone, those things would just get wrecked. You would think. I don't know. Any of you guys in here? Any of you guys watching right this minute, live? Sound off if you have Starlink. I'm curious. Curious who has Starlinks in there. Let's get on with the news. Got more stuff coming. Important stuff. There's some funny stuff out of the Middle East. It's not often you see funny stuff out of the Middle East. Usually it's tragedies, but there's some funny stuff, and one's coming up here. Made me laugh. Let's see here. Sneeko just got hammered in the Middle East. He was getting hammered. And we're going to watch Sneeko get his jimmies rustled by one of these. I don't know. I don't know what you call these guys. Let's see here. Sneeko gets cooked by Sheikh Asim Al-Hakim for saying he doesn't like Hadith. We're going to watch that in a minute. This is kind of like the scandal. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was showing this. This is what I was talking about, this sheik right here. We're going to watch that. We got like more important stuff coming out. There's a controversy involving Nick Fuentes. He says something about white nationalists. Horace, you got to watch this. Give us your opinion. Well, you probably already know my opinion, but we're going to watch it because I haven't watched the whole thing. He doesn't like white nationalists. We already know that. Let's see what Henrik's going off on. Henrik says that this is Henrik Plumgren. From Red Ice, equating the safety, love, and well-being for our children and ultimately survival of our ethnic group and racial hatred is the low IQ take. All right. It sounds...
Anyone that has any genuine racial hatred, we have to just say there's some...
Is this like his latest one?
Anyone that has any genuine racial hatred, we have to just say there's something wrong with you. I understand not wanting to live around black people. I get it.
I mean, the only real hatred I have is for traitors. Everyone else, I just don't want to be near them, especially traitors.
And I understand when you see what black people do, some of them, I understand hating that. But this whole, like, autistic racial, like, actual racialism, actual racial militant hatred, it is like a freak show. Because that comes from an emotional place. It is one thing to say that, like, there are whites and blacks. Black people clearly are not on our level of development, and that's why they're struggling.
Okay.
That's why they're not integrating well, and that's why there are these problems. Like, it's one thing to say that clinically, and it's one thing to see what they do and get frustrated by it and get angry about it. It's a whole other thing.
There's too much racial hatred online, guys. We're more worried about the racial hatred out on the street and all the disasters happening to our race.
And to have this, like, persistent... like antipathy for vast groups of people. That is just like a low IQ dysfunctional thing. And everything, oh, well, but that's...
Well, what about, like, I mean, there's a lot of groypers that I know that have a lot of dislike for non-whites, like blacks especially, and their dysfunctional behavior and their low impulse control. But what about, like... you know, Nick's displayed disgust with the Jews? Is that included here? Is that somewhat of a contradiction? Because I've heard him say some pretty radical stuff about Jews, especially the last couple of years. What does he? I mean, is this included?
Does it make you mad? It's like, yeah, it makes me mad. I'm not filled with like racial hatred for an entire group, even the Jews. Even though Jewish people have ruined my life in many ways, like they do horrible things, I don't have a hatred for them as a group. And I could say nice things about them, you know? But that comes from being a Christian. That's the kind of...
Yeah, I was just going to say this is a Christian take.
Peace. And that's the kind of disposition that you can only have if you love God, if you truly have love in your heart for people. And it's no coincidence. It's always these pagans that harbor this intense animosity all the time. And if you have that, you really got to get over that. And that doesn't mean you need to stop being racist. It doesn't mean you got to stop being a quote-unquote racist. But you got to let go of wrath. You have to let go of anger. And especially autistic to, like, hate Italians of all people. Like, what level of fucking role play are you on? The year is 2025. We are besieged from all sides by blacks and Jews and Mexicans and Indians. And you're autistically angry about Italians. You'd have to, like, work at that. You would have... That is, like, a self-conscious role play. Like, I said that Italians do is they pretend to be more Italian than they are. That's the only offensive thing Italians do is, like, make good food and are fun.
All right, so now he's... Okay, that's some type of bit. There's too much... So there's this kind of projected message. There's too much racism online. People are taking things too seriously. We got to learn to live to get along, even in a segregated sense or something. I don't know. It's kind of a Christian take, though. This next one is a little bit... the part I heard... And I'll read Retro's perspective. This is Retro Archives. Retro Archives had a pretty good take on this, I guess. I'll read that as well here. But this one is about white nationalists are eternal losers. No. I mean, you could point to some examples of people on the left and the right, the center, people that you could label white nationalists as being losers. You could also point at some that are very successful, depending on how you quantify success. But let's see what he has to say here, because that's kind of like a very generalized statement that many of my audience probably would surprise a lot of people. And they are Wignatty.
What a lot of people say about white nationalists is true. They are like terminal losers, like hate winning. That is true of a lot of them. There's just this like really negative feedback.
How many does he actually know?
Back loop where it's like they do nothing, don't produce anything, aren't successful. And if you point that out, it's like, oh, well, that's because to succeed is Jewish. Well, we're not.
Who in the hell says that? Here's the thing. Who says this?
It's like, oh, well, that's because to succeed is Jewish.
To succeed is Jewish. I've interviewed more white nationalists probably and been around more, as many as anyone alive, probably, easily. Maybe there's some with more. You know what I'm saying. I'm not saying Dr. Duke hasn't been around more, but I don't know anyone that's ever said anything like this.
Well, we're not rich because we're not Jewish.
We're not rich because we're not Jewish?
If you like being rich, you're Jewish. It's like, okay, but to do anything about...
Nick is 80% European and I think 20% Latinx.
About that, we need to succeed. That's why I don't really care to engage with people like that. You know, she goes, what's the difference between Joel and Ye? It's like, do you really want me to tell you the difference between Joel Davis and
Hold
Katie?
On, this,
like,
is, this is Joel's, I think, better half or something like
don't
that.
Don't really care to engage with people like that. You know, she goes, what's...
Okay, so now he's bringing up Gifts Ungiven. Now, Gifts Ungiven is connected to Joel Davis. Aren't you going to tell him that it's cringy and Wignat, or does that change because he's black? If the Australians and Joel, or if any actual white people promoted it, it's suddenly not acceptable. That makes so much sense. Oh, this is a good point. Gifts Ungiven is saying that the Wignat vibe, when it's promoted by Ye88, it's okay, but if, when it's promoted by whites, Nick doesn't like it. It's kind of an interesting point because we just showed him the other day. He's with Kanye West, and I got my head out of the way here so you guys can read this. He was with Kanye West. Kanye West has like these vampire teeth in, and he has this gigantic diamond swastika at half tilt, Nazi style, and very Wignatty. And it's kind of like she's asking, aren't you going to tell him that that's cringy and Wignat, or does that change because he's black? If the Australians and Joel, or if any actual white people promote it, it's suddenly not acceptable. That makes so much sense. Yeah, he does kind of like, he does move around the board here, doesn't he? She's making a good point there.
What's the difference between Joel and Ye? It's like, do you really want me to tell you the difference between Joel Davis and Kanye West? How about $2 billion, $3 billion for that's for openers. How about being world famous? How about 30 million followers on Twitter? How about cultural influence and fashion and music? Does any of that count for anything? No, that's all Jewish. All that's Jewish.
Now, she's not saying that. She's asking about the contradiction here. Why is it when Kanye West, a black rapper, who's the blackest of rappers, he does all kinds of weird stuff with some, like, his wife, whatever. I mean, the whole entire thing is a spectacle. I mean, the first week or two of Ye88 was pretty entertaining because he was obviously really pissed off at Jews and letting something off his chest. He had some real world experience. But these days, it's become kind of like a bad act. But at the same time, he's also in Western civilization. So Kanye West has done well in Western civilization as a black rapper in the later part, early part of the 21st century. Okay. When he does very Wignatty stuff, it's very cool. But when whites do it, it's cringe. It's a very good question, though. Why the contradiction?
30 million followers on Twitter? Oh, I sneeze at that. That's
so he's saying he really only cares about fame and wealth. All right.
Thing. $2 billion? Well, what's $2 billion when you're a really good person and have the best ideas? When you're a real national socialist? Actually, it's a lot. You know, $2 billion, a lot of money. There are people in like the white nationalist space that bitch about that I have influence, that I have a big platform. They're like, why does he get the platform? It's like, because I'm good at what I do.
I don't know anyone that bitches about that. They just don't like double standards.
It wasn't given to me.
I've never heard anyone bitch about Nick having a big platform because he's done well for himself. He's built platforms up on various different, like YouTube, and lost it, and he built up or got his Twitter account back. But I've never heard anyone complain about that per se. Maybe, I'm not saying I know everyone that says anything about him. But the only complaint is that, one, he's part Mexican. Two, he has all white nationalist talking points, and all he does is piss on white nationalists. And three, Gifts Ungiven has made a very valid point that when Kanye acts like a wignat, it's okay because he has $2 billion and he's black. But when someone white does it, well, then it's cringe. I don't know. Let's see. Global Chat says, Fuentes said on a live stream, which I watched, that if he becomes American dictator, America will be a Catholic country. He said Protestants would have to convert or die. Yeah, that's not going to go over well. Distributed.
I built it. I earned it. I developed a skill. I was good at something. I was ambitious. And consequently, I'm good at getting attention. I'm good at getting money. I'm good at doing a show. And you know, the problem with...
Well, no, Keith Woods thinks Kanye's cringe as well, I'm pretty sure.
A lot of white nationalists, is they think that they should just be, like, crowned the king because they just have all the right ideas. I'm the most white nationalist.
Here's the thing, Global Chat. Even if we were to have the reign of the Antichrist, which only lasts about 30 to 90 days, even if we have this communist republic and he declares all Protestants are going to die, even if he's president, it will only be for a couple days.
Nationalist, so I should be the guy.
I wouldn't even want to be in that position.
I should have the leadership. Everyone should look to me for ideas. It's like, why? Have you written a book? No. Do you have a big audience? No.
Fuentes should have applauded Kanye's business endeavors in pornography. Yeah, it's all cringe stuff.
Oh. Okay. Do you have a lot of money? No. Okay. So what do you bring to the table? Well, I am the most right. I'm the most correct. Okay. Well, good for you. But like, what do you do in the world? You know, I see that all the time.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with ambition. There's nothing wrong with trying to figure out a way like, okay, in this particular system, in this particular ordeal, how can I do best for my stuff and project forward? And I think a lot of people have done that, and some of our side does it better than others. The general challenge you get into in this discussion is that sooner or later, you actually hit a wall, and the powers that be don't let you have monetization. That's the challenge. It happens to us every 2 to 3 years max. Generally, every 24 months, like clockwork, something goes down. Something happens, you lose monetization, and when one loses monetization, a lot follow, because then it messes up everything, messes up the whole entire vibe. It doesn't matter if it was DLive. I could go back in time. We could point out other different scenarios, but it happens. It happens across the board, and that is what disrupts everything the most, is the actual system itself. Kanye has never really had that type of disruption until he crossed the Jews, which I think he had legitimate points the first late month of that happening. And, you know, everything in this rant is so disingenuous. The tweet he's responding to doesn't say what's the difference between Joel Davis and Ye. Ye, it is speaking about Nick's criticism of optics for the last 6 years. If Nick doesn't counter-signal white people marching with a swastika or IRL activism in general, the animosity between both camps would end instantly. I have never heard... Well, he's got to have an enemy. That is elite structure 101. You've got to have an enemy. If you're only dividing the social space once, you're doing what the enemy does. And then you're projecting, that's like, but you generally want to have an enemy to beat up. And it's, you know, maybe you've got some losers online that have attacked him, whatever, in the past that he can easily pick on. But although I don't know, he hasn't mentioned any names. Joel is not what I would consider an online loser in any way, shape, manner, or form. He has issues with censorship. We all do. But that no way, shape, manner, or form makes him into a loser. I'll take Joel Davis over Kanye West any day. I mean, Kanye West might have said some things about the Jews we agree with, but everything else is just too much baggage, too toxic, and, you know. I don't know. If Nick didn't counter-signal white marching with swastika or IRL activism in general, the animosity between both camps would end instantly. Well, he doesn't like IRL activism because he doesn't do it. And in these particular circles, just like our circles, if the person doesn't do it, they generally don't care for it as much. I accept all kinds of activists. Now, that's like a generalization. There's things I do and things I don't do, because you almost got to be a specialist. You almost got to be a specialist in this in America, because it's such a big place. It's very difficult for anyone white to plan anything large, and anything Nick does would be large. So I somewhat understand that, but I don't know why bother counter-signaling it. I would never counter-signal public activism or guys that want to do unique things like build communities privately, publicly. You know what I'm saying? Either pro-white or you're anti-white. It's that simple. And who knows? Let a thousand flowers bloom. I have never heard any prominent white nationalist call someone Jewish for being successful. Fact. Of course, there are schizo freaks who call everyone controlled opposition and Jewish and feds. That's true. But to say that's the norm is incorrect. It's hyperbole. An extreme. In the extreme. America First has no political victories. Y24 was a failure. AFPAC 4 was a failure. Groper War 2 was a failure. It seems the plan is send me super chats and maybe 20, 30 years I can be president. He needs an outlier to make him president. Nick has grown in fame, though, and that's undeniable. I don't knock America First for doing something, but that's really dishonest to say the AF model is working. Why the some of the National Socialist models are not. National Socialist, NSN, is under a lot of fire from the, I think he's talking about in Australia, is under fire from the system, which is proof that it is seen as more of a threat. Well, that, you know, just because someone's under fire from the system just means it's under fire from the system. They love firing at our stuff if you're pro-white. You know, I think the Jews see anything white as a threat. You know, there's a certain amount of shit libs that see anything white as a threat, and that's a very broad category, though. Meaning that there are others that could come up in Australia that get attacked the same way they're doing, like Australia First. I could see something like that happening. You know what I'm saying, though. I'm just kind of like splitting hairs here. How did many of the successes of Nick even come about? They came from dealing with sordid characters. The reason Nick met with Ye in the first place is he had dinner with Trump is through Milo Yiannopoulos. Nick and another sordid character named Ali Akbar Alexander tried to stage a fag coup against Milo, and it blew up in their face, and both of them being fired from Ye24. The issue in dealing with these freaks, I forgot about that, in dealing with these freaks and putting exposure over ideology is that you have no foundation. You are willing to ally with anyone famous to push your message, but at the same time, it muddies the message. It is choosing the easy wrong over the hard right. What even is the Groiper plan or ideology? We don't know. Well, it's Catholic, I think. Good observations all around. I think that's a generalization. I guess you could say someone, let's say that a small business owner that's middle class or upper middle class owns a home. I guess you could call that guy a failure. He doesn't have a couple billion dollars, but to me, I mean, you're getting by under these times quite well. You know, you're getting by quite well. We've all suffered all kinds of different challenges. Everyone suffers challenges in the system. Everyone white is going to have their own story. That's why certain tweets that I put out in the last 48 hours, I guess, are resonating. Everyone has the same, has some type of story in this particular system that's gnawing at them, or that's gnawed at their life and created that particular story, you know? So it's all white or nothing. CIA comes, Cultural Revolution happens. You go from Christ-like to satanic in a few years. There you go. As Milo is disgusting faggot. Nick's Friday breakdown of JFK was unique and very precise. Here's the thing about Nick. He's an entertainer, and he has some good takes. He has some very good takes, even some original takes. I wouldn't say, I mean, the best talking points on the right come from white nationalism. That's just a fact. And they openly acknowledge that. They're just saying they're not white nationalists. Well, I've only ever called myself pro-white in actuality. I'm opposed to all the anti-white shit. I just have no problems with whatever else you want to call me. I'm not going to start freaking out over it and saying, I'm not a white nationalist. I don't like this kind of IRL activism. Well, I have my own, you know, we all have our own particular style and that type of thing, but say, being successful is Jewish, having money is Jewish. I don't know anybody that says anything like that, you know. Now, if you're running the Federal Reserve, if you're running a Hollywood movie company, we'd be pretty suspicious of you probably, eh? I said that on the show the other day that Nick had the smile. He looked just like Ben Shapiro. Here it is. Here it is, Tim. He does smile like Ben Shapiro, but just because he smiles like Ben Shapiro doesn't mean he's Jewish. Calling everyone Jewish online or fed is something that I don't do because I show my face and it's very dysfunctional when you start calling. You've got to be right You got to be right. I'm guessing if the Antichrist shows up, the first thing the Antichrist is going to do is either going to start calling people white nationalists or Jews. Attack this person. It's a Nephilim Jew. Whatever that means, you know. Tugboat, never double down on Brown. Here's the thing about, he's never not disclosed to, he's 20% Aztec or whatever. He's not disclosed that. He's never done anything to, here's the thing, what can he really do to hurt any of that stuff? I mean, as far as like diversity is a code word for white genocide and anti-racism code word for anti-white, he was saying it back in the day because you had to. You know, so, I mean, has he pushed the Overton window? You know, there's two particular views. There's definitely probably has with the JQ a little bit. Some would say he rode the Overton window. He hasn't pushed it as much as rode it. He definitely has done a good job of riding it. So you could make an argument either way. We'll have to see how history records it. He's spiritually Jewish. He's Catholic. Yeah, but just because my smiles are sort of like Ben Shapiro doesn't mean he's Jewish. That's again, that's a little bit dysfunctional to say everyone's Jewish. But nonetheless, I did say he does smile like Ben Shapiro, so I won't own up to that. But I wasn't saying he's Jewish. I mean, Ben Shapiro has a lot of European genes, and Nick has about 80% of them. So keep that in mind. People throw shade because he's on top. I mean, is he on top? Is he on top? I think he's the biggest, one of the bigger right-wing influential names on social media. That's true. I think these guys right here might be as big. I think you could see something come from slightly offensive and these guys. The Sarah C. Stock, you could see these people make a move on Groyper Inc. Not that they don't get along and stuff like that, but I think Elijah Schaefer is going to be bigger than Nick Fuentes for a lot of different reasons.
And I don't follow
the... Now, he's got a lot of the same takes. He's got a lot of the same takes as white nationalists. He's got all the same takes. You've got to have the same takes. He's banned from credit card processors. Yeah, Nick has been banned a lot. He has a lot of supporters that will give him money, which is what happens in this. You're going to have supporters. He has diehard supporters, and he has been successful. He's a very successful entertainer. He's very successful at social media. He's very successful at making, you know, basic pro-white points, basically, when he wants to. There are people that are probably jealous of his success, sure. You know, it's like when he got the big Bitcoin donation. He wasn't the only one that got a large Bitcoin donation. Ethan Ralph. And there's all kinds of different parties. VDare. So this type of thing happens when you have your face out there. James Lindsay calls for violence against the woke right. Now, these guys, in my opinion, this is the next big name. I mean, a really big name coming. He's more of a white nationalist flavor. Very good media production. Very broad with who he'll have on. Very broad as far as who he'll have a dialogue with. Very white nationalist-y. He's married with kids. So I see Elijah Schaefer and the Sarah Stock character being very big as far as their show and everything else.
Look what James Lindsay said today. Someone said, everyone is woke right. What do we do? And James called for the genocide of our people and said, kill them, ? That's the most base thing I've ever heard him say. It's like, you know what I mean? But I bring this up. These people are bloodthirsty. You know, they love the war in Ukraine. They love the war in Gaza. They like death. This is a demonic spirit that these people hold. It is a spirit of deception that has overtaken these people. And
very Christian too now, right? This is the first time I heard some Christian take from him.
It's no surprise to me that almost everyone who's on this side is either very pro-Judaistic, they're connected to Judaism, or they're communists, or they're Christians, and you find out that they have a connection to Judaism, which is a satanic cult. I do believe that firmly. I do not believe Judaism can... To say Judeo-Christianity...
Okay, someone's saying Elijah Schaefer's part Jewish and his wife is part Jewish. Okay, well, that doesn't surprise me. He's doing a lot of right things, though. I don't know him. He had on Joel Davis. He had on Tom Sewell. He's heading on a very broad group of characters. And he's definitely getting to the right of everyone.
He, to me, is mockery of God. And
he's saying Jews are satanic.
Like, I'm scared of God, kind of. I really am. Like, I'm scared because God will not be mocked. He literally says that. I will not be mocked, right? And I don't follow the Bible very closely. And I'm pretty weak in some of my obedience to God. And I make a lot of mistakes. And that doesn't mean that I think God's dumb. And I think when people do things like this, like, say, Judeo-Christianity, try to tie God to, like, a Kabbalistic modern cult that doesn't reflect Christ, it's actually anti-Christ, right? Why do you say it's demonic? Because it's against Jesus, okay? So anything that's against Jesus, not just ignorant of Christ, but against Jesus, to me, is of the devil. And it's like, so you're saying that, you know, every one of them are demonic? No, I think a lot of people follow demonic ideas that aren't themselves demonic because out of ignorance or out of cultural, you know, commitment or maybe even out of just simply being misled. But really, when you get further into Judaism, it is demonic. It's New Age. It's Spiritism. It's black magic and arts. And I do think it's very, very odd to me that Christians would cozy up to atheists. Look what James...
Yeah, that's a Christian angle. I wasn't expecting that Christian angle, whoever sent that in. But I see these guys being big. I know you just had on Nick Fuentes. I see them being probably bigger in many ways. Just my 10 cents. You guys can give yours. I'm just making a, you know, slightly offensive. Elijah Schaefer. Let's see what he has here. Okay, 814,000. CEO of Vigilante News. Journalist Gateway Pundit. I guess his X account is bigger than Nick's. But he is, again, he's monetized across the board. That's the advantage. Nick is not going to be monetized across the board because Nick was definitely ahead of the game. This is how it works, guys. The people that are going to do the best as far as monetization and account growth and stuff like that are people that came into this later than us. And every generation is going to be bigger and better. So Elijah Schaefer has an advantage over Nick. He doesn't have any more of the baggage. Although Nick was young, he still has some of that baggage. The Keith Woods and Nick Fuentes had an advantage over, let's say, me and Bob Whitaker. Whitaker would say this, every generation, meaning not necessarily a generation in age, but every generation that comes in to our particular stuff is going to be bigger, faster, and better, as far as, and do better, and be able to get away with more. And that's what Elijah Schaefer has done. Not that he's necessarily his takes are better, or that he's more charismatic on camera, he's just got an advantage, is what I'm saying as well. So when I say he's going to be bigger, he already is bigger. It's for that particular reason. He has that advantage. And that's the way it's going to work. And he probably realizes that. He's a married fag. Well, this is the type of thing that does well, though. I'm just pointing it out. I never said I trust him. I don't know him. I would have to get Joel Davis's take on him. I don't know. I've never knew 100% that he was gay. You know, there's always someone online saying someone's Jewish, someone's gay. So sometimes it's kind of tough. You know, it's one thing being an anonymous saying that online, but, you know, I don't want to put my name on something I'm not 100% sure that he's gay. He's employed by Compounds and Compound Media and Censored TV. They also have on Jim Goad, and I like Jim Goad. You know, I see him doing well in this particular environment. I mean, he's definitely moved in. He's moved into the far right, into the memes and everything else, and is coasting through. He's doing very well off that. And he's going to continue to do well because, like every generation, and the generation that comes after him, whoever comes next is going to do even better than him. What's up, Reclaim? We'll see what this is about here. What do you got for me? Hold on.
He's a fag.
At least you got a sense
of
humor.
He's a fag.
I don't know. I don't know the deets on him. Other than I followed him. When he interviewed Joel Davis and Tom Sewell, I started following him and noticed that he's, very big on this Christian angle.
For California,
You know, everybody here realizes probably by this point, by the sound of my lisp and my slightly gay mannerisms.
I guess he does call himself a fag.
That I'm from Los Angeles. It's no secret. You know, we have an atrazine in our water. And I grew up thinking that stepping over human feces and finding dead homeless people in my garbage bin, which actually didn't happen, was a part of life. And so when COVID happened...
Okay, he's got a lisp. Speaking of lisp, Drunk Rabbi spills the beans. Let's listen to the Drunk Rabbi. See what the Drunk Rabbi has to say. Uh-oh. He's getting into it. He's at a dinner party where someone's heckling him. Wheezing the juice. Goat hasn't posted any material in the last year. I was radicalizing Kumia's chat during the election and unsubbed because I was only there for Goat, but he hasn't come back, almost as if they keep him off to keep me off. Just a theory. Wheezing the juice. I can tell you this, buddy. He was moving, and moving can take a lot out of you, and then he probably took a break or something. He was supposed to come out with a very radical book, the Nigromica. The Nigromica? It literally is the Negro or Nigromica. I appreciate the support, though. I don't know what to say about Goat. And Goat's one of a kind. But it's rough moving across the country.
Yarmulkes when you go through Times Square a block away. You guys want to hide your mug and dubbins? You want Jews to become some secret society like the Illuminati where we're afraid to show that we're Jewish? No, I won't live in a freaking damn world like that. I don't live in Iraq. Yarmulkes when you go through Times Square a block away.
Okay, so he's bitching at other Jews because they're afraid to wear yarmulkes.
You guys want to hide your mug and dubbins? You want Jews to become some secret society like the Illuminati where we're afraid to show that we're Jewish? No, I won't live in a freaking damn world like that. I don't live in Iran.
He doesn't live in Iran. Okay. He's bitching at Jews for not being Jewish enough in public. The Negro-Amicon. Negro-Animicon? Nigronomicon. Nigronomicon. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, so I would order it. You know. Bill Maher and his panel discussed Democrats' bleak futures. Liberals are associated with cumbersome regulations. Basically, everything's going to get deregulated. The shit libs are in trouble. Bill Maher has given the word. We're taxed more than any other state. He's talking about California. People are leaving. People are leaving these kind of states because they don't feel the heavy breath of government on them. Red tape is a reality in blue tape.
I just put in a new roof because California is projected to lose 3 seats, New York 2, also going to lose a seat, Minnesota, Oregon, Rhode Island, Illinois, all blue states. Who's getting these? Texas, Florida, Idaho, and Utah. I mean, this looks like game over, you know, and the reason why people are voting with their feet is a lot of what your book is about.
Yeah.
Taxes and regulation. I certainly have been screaming about it forever. I did 3 years with this.
It's about race also. Taxes and regulation are a part, but they always miss race. You notice that?
Sign here that said, how long is it going to take me to get my solar hooked up?
Yeah, Goat is getting older. That's true. He probably is just kicking back. Yeah, I mean, it's rough moving across the country.
3 years. Talking about it on television. In this state, you couldn't do it. This state has almost 400,000 regulations. I just put in a new roof because the fire, I thought, oh, let's get a roof that's not going to burn up. 2 inspections. Why are you inspecting my roof? It's my fucking roof. If it falls on me, that's my problem. And we're taxed more than any other state. People are leaving these kind of states for places where they're not, they feel the heavy breath of government on them. It's just, it's not that hard for Democrats to understand this, but they seem to be incapable of doing anything about it.
So we poll this. They're leaving on cost of living. That's all part of it. They're leaving because they can't afford homes. And it's a huge, not just political problem, those numbers you just gave. After 2030, if that holds...
Well, this is Ezra Klein.
A Democrat could win every state Kamala Harris won, win Michigan, win Pennsylvania, and I'm just blanking on the third blue wall state, win Michigan, win Pennsylvania, and win Wisconsin, and lose the presidential election, right? The blue wall would no longer be enough for them to win. And You have to take
you
that.
You mean they could win those three states and still
and lose?
Lose
a presidential. Oh. That's how bad it is, right?
Wow.
And that's.
Now we see why the tribe is camped out on the Republican side owning Donald Trump. Now we see. Bill Maher saying lights out. He's going back to his libertarian days. Bill Maher at one time was very libertarian. It sounds like he's going back into that stuff. Huge lead and major update in swatting terrorism. Yeah, the right wing, like these like mainstream operatives, whatnot. Oh, this is Owen Schroyer. They're all like doing these type of crazy swatting. They're going through a lot of swatting scandals. The difference between the swatting scandals that we've seen, let's see, with Mr. Medicare and whatnot, is that it sounds like the FBI and stuff were getting involved in this one because, you know, Trump's in office, so.
All right, guys. I have a big update for you on the swatting incident that took place last night. I'm going to start with kind of the more basic, raw facts of some follow-up I did. And then I'm going to get into something that is just straight up eerie, psychotic, insane that I've also discovered in the last hour. Let me first start with some follow-up I did with my legal team and with a level of law enforcement. The problem that we have is in a lot of these districts, you have Soros attorneys.
Okay, so they're going into bad. They can't really do anything with those districts. Well, if they get the feds involved, you can do something. I don't know enough about the swatting and what they could be, what laws they could bring down from the federal level. But I do know the federal government can do whatever the hell they want if they get pissed off. They don't really care about laws, you know. There was also some guy from InfoWars that was murdered recently. They're saying that was a random crime. I didn't get the bottom line on that one, though. But the swatting incidents are picking up speed on the right wing. And this is Sneeko. Sneeko's in the news, which is kind of funny. Sneeko returns to Mecca. And it's rather humorous. Let's look at a dust cloud. This is Sneeko coming to Mecca right here. It's in the Middle East. This is one hell of a dust cloud. It's impressive. Very impressive dust cloud over there in the Middle East. Sneeko has reportedly been offered a 5-year deal worth $1 billion from Saudi Arabia to promote Islam. Damn. It's a lot of money. If he accepts, and that's nothing for them, his earnings would equal $4.2 million a week, $600,000 a day, $25,000 an hour, $416 a minute. He should ask for $2 billion while he's there. I mean, if they can afford $1 billion, why not $2? They want him to promote Islam. And they're probably going to give him a few wives, too. What do you think? But things aren't going so well for him. Sneeko gets cooked by Sheikh Asim al-Hakim for saying he doesn't like a hadith. Let me get my head out of the way. This is going to be entertaining, guys. This is pretty funny. If you doubt the prophet for a second, you're a full-fledged kafir. Get the heck out of my house.
This one, ever since I've read this hadith, which stuff a lot, I have to admit.
Let me jack it up for you guys a little bit. Let me jack up the sound a little bit.
I've been struggling with this one ever since I read this hadith, which stuff a lot. I have to admit, I didn't like when I read it.
Listen, no, Shaitan. First of all, we as Muslims have to have submission, certainty, no questions asked, no strings attached. This is Quran. I believe it. Do you fully embrace it? Yes.
Yes.
No questions asked. This is a hadith. Do you take it? Is it authentic? Is it?
That's what I read, yeah.
Then if it's authentic, it's from Allah. How could I be shaky? Because if you want to be shaky, this means that you don't have certainty. And when you don't have certainty, you're this close to flipping to the dark side.
These guys are hardcore, man.
But, I mean, how are we able to judge how authentic hadith is? Or
you don't. How do you judge whether this neurosurgeon who's going to do a spine cord surgery on you is authentic or not?
judge by opinions of other people.
Okay, so by whose people?
The professionals.
Professionals. So you go to the scholars.
That's why I'm asking you.
I'm coming to you. I'm not answering yet. I'm just setting the foundation for the belief. The biggest problem we have with the Westerners from America and from Canada and from Europe is that they don't have their Islam on cemented area. They're so easy to flip to the other side, and that's why
he wants to be socially cool and Islamic, and that doesn't actually work. They want total submission.
You find many of them starting to be good and strong and mashallah, and all of a sudden, I have doubts. Why? The Prophet married Aisha when she was 9. You're a kafir. If you doubt the Prophet for a second, you're a full-fledged kafir. Get the heck out of my house. Don't even think about it. No second chances. Islam is crystal clear. The Prophet said, I've left you on Islam, which is as clear as night and day. There's nothing ambiguous in it. So if someone has the hesitation and is not certain, you know how many counseling sessions I do over the year?
Islam is Old Testament. It's not only Jewish, it's very Jewish, it's Old Testament. But someone said Islam, I didn't know Islam was basically like Darth Vader. Yeah, it is.
Thousands. I counsel people for money. They come to me, they pay me $220 per hour. I'm cheap. So what's the problem? And they come to me and say, Sheikh, I'm not certain that Allah exists. And you're a kafir. End of call. Watch out. If you doubt something in Islam that is beyond doubt.
It's kind of how we are if you say you don't know if race isn't real.
The Prophet, alayhi salam, if you look down at him.
Sneeko is too westernized. Yeah, he's had it too easy on streaming platforms. He's made too much money. He's had too much gay sex or whatever we could say about him. I don't know anything about Sneeko, other than his name is weird.
If you think bad about him, if you think something wrong with the Quran, if you think...
I only know about him from like Keith Woods.
Allah Azza wa Jal is unfair. You're a kafir. We don't have to beat around the bush. But if you have a doubt, why did this happen? I'll explain it to you. This is why I'm here. You say, I don't know why the Prophet married Aisha when she was 9. And he was 50 years of age. It doesn't sound good, but I accept it. Do you think bad of the Prophet? Is he a pedophile? Astaghfirullah. I would be a kafir thinking this. But I just want justification. I explain it to you. And I'll remove all doubt in your head.
Yeah, a little bit different times. That's what they say. It was different times. Now, these days, they kind of frown on marrying 9-year-olds for high profile. I said high profile Muslims, mostly, but not always. You might get promised someone when 9, but you got to technically wait till she's like 12. So you're a kafir. Basically slammed him pretty good. Yeah, Sneeko gets cooked. So Sneeko Daily. Ha, ha. All right. Someone covering him. They're doing all this Islamic stuff.
I'm just walking.
I'm walking too.
I'm just walking.
Yeah, see, you're walking a little too fast.
Walking. Hey, hey, hey.
Yo, you're coming.
Oh. I'm winning this time, bro.
Oh, yo, stick, whoa. Oh, hell. Yo, he beat me. Oh. Yo.
So they've got him with all these Muslim social media operators over there. You know. It's kind of funny he got called a kafir. You can't doubt, yeah. You cannot doubt anything in Islam. Islam is complete submission. There is no doubting anything. And that's why they keep it very tight. It seems to work for the Arabs. The Arabs do quite well. Works for them. You know, at least it has thus far. I'm going to take a break for a couple minutes, guys. You guys can listen to some... listen to the intro, or the, I should say, the intermission music. And I'll be back with all kinds of news still coming. We've got war porn blazing out of, guess where, the Middle East. Middle East is heating up. Israel's going at it again with Lebanon, apparently. We'll get to all that. Aisha was 9 moon years, which is more like 8.5. Biggest Smalls wishing all of us a growing audience. we've been pretty stable and growing here and there. I mean, Rumble does very well, but Rumble's a lot bigger. Odyssey does okay. I do okay on Odyssey, considering how much smaller they are. It just depends, you know. Sneeko was a groper until a Negro DJ knocked his tooth out in Detroit and gropers didn't help him. Oh, that's right. He said, I realized that to them I was just another nigger. Isn't that what he said? Something like that? I remember covering that. But anyways, guys, I'll be back in a couple minutes here. Enjoy the intermission. Grab some drinks. Grab some popcorns. I appreciate it. Be back in a minute, guys.
Doesn't mean you'll be sad.
Okay, we're back. We're back. Let's get on with the show here. What is the song even about? That's a great question. I forget the title of it. I always forget the title of it. I have her whole entire album, though. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Let's see what we've got here. We've got... this is a pretty funny take on World War II and Hitler. A little bit unique.
All men are interested in Nazis, whether they admit it or not. So, what do you think? All men are interested in Nazis, whether they admit
it. All men are interested in the Nazis, whether they admit it or not. These are some regular dudes.
Fascinating. So, what do you think is the prevailing interest in the Nazis for men? Is it more like a...
I guess it's the biggest...
Guy time?
No, it's the biggest... it's the furthest the boys have ever got without their wives calling them on it. It's a stag do that went the furthest. It's the Nazis. That's why men are fascinated in it, because they go, God,
how'd you get away with that?
You get away? What, her indoors didn't stop you doing that? Fuck me. Wow. I think that's why we're fascinated by it. Totally.
It's the naughtiest boys who've ever lived.
Yeah, it's the naughtiest boys who've ever lived. It's basically Germans have gone to the darts at Ali Pali and never gone home. Yeah. That's what the Nazis are.
Kind of an interesting take. They continue to eat up a lot of mainstream time. The Nazis. Avril, this is kind of the post of the day. This is a pro-white guy building a community out in Arkansas. I've never spoken with him, but I'll probably have him on for a show, or at least ask him on for a show, since he's building a community out there. He's went to Aranya in South Africa and talked to them and doing a lot of interesting stuff. He has some interesting takes as well. We used to be a lot smarter and more innovative in the 1800s when Kipling wrote The White Man's Burden. We've dropped about a standard deviation since then because in the absence of strong selective pressures, we're allowing more deleterious mutations to build up in our population. The white man that Kipling had in mind is still around today, but that's only a portion of us. And there are whites who conquered the world, reached the moon, and invented the computer, and then there are whites who are in the image of the former but have declined. We have to stop worrying about whether all whites can get on our side and start working on reorganize the white race. I don't care as much about whiteness as a demographic category indicating European ancestry as I care about whiteness as an aspirational concept indicating an enlightened culture, civilized and powerful people who will assert themselves in the world for the good of mankind. The Indo-European, Indo-Dem, Aryan meant noble or peer. They saw themselves as distinguished by their honor and observance to a higher law than other peoples. I think whites instinctively see themselves held to higher standards. I think that's true, even to this day. You see this in liberals especially, and conservatives. Our endonym white should be meant in the same spirit, not indicating skin tone, but an ideal of truthfulness, lawfulness, nobility, purity. We should want to stand out collectively for our virtue as conspicuously as our phenotype stands out from the rest of humanity. To stand out and become who we are meant to be, we have to find each other deliberately. Not only are foreign elements distinguishing among us, but the element within our people has fallen and is not part of what we need to create. There's still people that deserve love, but we have to leave them behind to create the people that the future demands. Unless you personally network together into this white race, quote unquote, you aren't really white. It's as simple as that. Remember, the Aryan self-concept was noble, but also pure. We have to find peers in each other and have respect for each other for the excellence we collectively aspire to be realized. Individual feelings of superiority don't make a nobility. A network of peers makes a nobility, and that's what we have to create. Kind of interesting. Intriguing. One of the more intriguing white nationalist posts in the last month, actually. He definitely put some thought into that. Let's listen to this. How can the Irish people save themselves, speaking of National Socialists, save themselves from complete extinction? I didn't know Justin Barrett was on X. Hold on here. Justin Barrett on X. Okay, hold on. Let me follow him. I'm going to follow him on X. There you go. Let's listen to what Justin Barrett had to say. Get my head out of the way. Justin Barrett, always well-spoken. Definitely has an opinion.
Sure, for yourself. Do you see Ireland ever becoming a national socialist state? Do you see that as a possible outlet? Do you think that Ireland is going to be taken over from, you know, playing the political system and gaining power inside of that political system. How do you see Ireland fixing the circumstance that it's in today?
Ireland becomes a national socialist state, or Ireland ceases to exist. Those are the two options. And as soon as people realize that, then one of the obstacles to Ireland becoming a national socialist state will disappear. Because as soon as it's life and death...
Now, what will happen in this particular scenario? Well, let me play the whole entire thing first.
That's choice, and people understand that. That it's not a choice between higher taxes and lower taxes, and it's not a choice between a nice area and a more run-down area, and it's not a choice between a good school and medium good school. That it's a choice between perversion, it's a choice between being like outnumbered, and it's a choice of being slaughtered in your own homes. That it is literally a life and death question, and that it is very, very soon. Then that removes the obstacle to the idea that there should be a radical solution, because we're not there yet. And once people realize there needs to be a radical solution, that's actually where National Socialism comes into its own. Because a lot of people who have diagnosed the problem, a huge element of it is the Jewish problem, have attempted to explain how it might be solved by removing Jewish influence in a different way than removing it through National Socialism. That it can be done in a way other than the only time that it has ever been effectively done in a modern nation state.
Do I agree with it? I see what's going to happen is you're eventually going to have successful groups in the West implement policies that are going to be like National Socialism, but they're like, oh, we're not those. I see that doing that type of thing, kind of like some Groypers do with white nationalism or something like that. I could see something like that happening. But one of the challenges, like this whole entire debate about nationalism and can you discuss nationalism without National Socialism? I think the challenge everyone's going to have is that what is always left out of the equation is economics. For instance, the Chinese, very successful right now. They're taking over the world. They're projected to take over the world if America doesn't stop them, if the empire doesn't blow them up or whatever. They're doing very well for themselves, and they're going to continue to do very well for themselves. And one of the reasons is because they're central bank. So when we talk about nationalism, we have to eventually talk about economics, and that's something that's not been mentioned in any of these articles. The reason the Nazis get up brought up now more than ever in banking circles and whatnot is simply because of China. And China's People's Bank of China is very Reich Bankish, if that is a word. I invented a word here, Reich Bankish. It's like the Reichsbank. It's very like they have two currencies, a currency for trade and internal, and it is a very unique central banking structure. It is very National Socialist like, and that's why it's coming up more than ever. So, you know, can you talk about white genocide and not talk about World War II? Sure. Can you talk about someone being anti-white? Sure. But in banking circles, it's coming up because if you watched even the stuff I played from Tucker complaining about China, the complaint is, well, they're kind of like the Nazis. Well, their central bank is just like the Nazis. There's a lot of ideals taken from Nazis. And so that's going to be the problem. The number one player, the number one up-and-comer, the empire, the rising empire, China, has a central bank identical, very similar, taken right out of World War II and National Socialist Germany. Very similar. They're doing very similar things. So although we don't see it blowing out, because the argument in public, you're not going to see on the nightly news discussion of the difference between a public and a private central bank. What's the difference between the Federal Reserve and the People's Bank of China, blah, 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 blah. You're not going to hear that. You know, even when it comes to the death of Kennedy, you're not going to hear too much about one of the particular parties that was most likely involved. being the, besides the Israelis, even that he pissed off were the central bankers, because he issued his own currency, was issuing his own currency from the Treasury. That never gets mentioned. So that's one of the challenges right now. If you say, well, I don't want to discuss National Socialism, or I don't think you can have nationalism without it. Well, one of the challenges is the most nationalist country on the planet has basically a National Socialist Central Bank. And that keeps coming up in conversations. A private central bank will generally issue a true currency from a government-run treasury, whereas a private central bank like the Federal Reserve Bank is going to issue a U.S. Treasury note, meaning a debt instrument, and interest on the debt will outpace the amount of debt in circulation. So you always know if someone's serious about wiping out the debt, they can easily just issue currency at the Treasury level, effectively wiping it out in no time at all, which is exactly what National Socialist Germany did. It's exactly what the People's Bank of China does. So the problem with this discussion I see is the elephant in the room is economics. It's the Chinese economic elephant. And it's the fact that they're running a National Socialist, modern Chinese variation of National Socialist economy. That is a challenge when the People's Bank of China comes up. Well, why can't we have that type of central bank? Well, I think they let the Chinese have it. They haven't gone to war with the Chinese yet, and that's coming. Because they planned on merging America, Chimerica, and they plan on merging the public and private central bank and going like 50-50, so they stop killing the goose that lays the golden egg, because these private central banking schemes run their course. And then they blow up and they burn down, and you got to keep on moving it into bigger schemes. And that was their next scheme. Now the scheme in America is, of course, crypto and fractional reserve system with some amount of gold backing the dollar. But that gold is going to be e-gold backed by real gold or some kind of scheme they've got. They've always got a scheme. They could just wipe it out completely, but they're going to have to give up a lot of power. They want to use resources, money, electricity, the ability to get Amazon, the ability to get on social media. They want to use that all as leverage. China goes about a directly different way thus far. Now, I'm not saying there can't be changes in China, but that's the biggest challenge I see to excluding, saying like, okay, Tim, you got out white genocide and stuff like that, and you're not sitting around having to talk about Hitler. That's true. Anti-racist code word for anti-white went out. We don't want to get bogged down in World War II. That's not my thing. From a historical perspective, truth's important. But the problem that you come into with a discussion of broad nationalism, whether it be in Europe, whether it be in Japan, I don't give a shit where you're at. You're going to be looking at the Chinese nationalism, and you're looking at the first time we've seen in the modern times at a National Socialist Reichsbank style central bank. I mean, it's not identical, but it is. Everyone's pointed it out. You just got to know what you're looking at. It's a big difference between the People's Bank of China and the Bank of England. Big fucking difference. And the Bank of England is identical to the Federal Reserve Bank. Well, it has owners, and it's not the English. So China leaned into it. Yeah, they leaned into it. They did a deal with the bankers. They brought out this to see how they would grow. They're not Germans. They're not white. So they didn't grow anywhere near like they expect it. But at the same time, the experiment was done. And they probably said, no, we don't want to fold our central bank into – we don't want to give you any control. And now, of course, they're big. And now the empire is bearing down on them. At the same time, they have this weird – relationship. The bankers don't ever like end a relationship. The global side doesn't, even when they're fighting. So Wall Street and London still, they tomorrow morning, very early, about 3 a.m., 2 a.m., they will need letters of credit from China to get dollars. They have to convert their yuan into U.S. dollars, and they do that with letters of credit, and they need that from Wall Street and the city of London. So they could give China a lot of problems. And this trade war is going to be intriguing. So I see that as like the most objective I can be. The biggest challenge with saying National Socialism doesn't have to come up in nationalism. The biggest challenge for that is the discussion on economics, and National Socialism is coming up a whole lot because a certain group on the planet has a central bank that is a very public central bank as of right now. And it's very Reichsbankish. That's the problem, or challenge, if you will. Hopefully you guys understand. That's my particular opinion. Now, as far as you can do all kinds of things without having to debate World War II, you know, if the enemy wants to use a former genocide, which they always do, whether it be some colonialism or some other bullshit to justify white genocide, let them and keep pointing it out. It pisses whites off to no end, and that's really, you know, the reason things are going the way they are is because you're dealing with a lot of pissed off whites and they're worried about controlling it. And, you know, hold on here. Tiger Woods and, oh, this is, oh, wow. But a very good take by Justin Barrett. He made his case very well. I see the problem as more of an economic problem more than anything else. It's going to come up because of economics. People are going to be talking about the new National Socialist Economic Policy, which in China is a mixed economy. By the way, National Socialist Germany was an actual mixed economy of ways, but they did have a very unique central bank. Yeah, Tiger Woods and Vanessa Trump go public with the relationship as golf star post bombshell statement. Oh, these two are together. That's kind of crazy. All right. Kai Trump had a disastrous tournament at the Junior Invitational in South Carolina. That was Donald Trump Jr. and his wife. Oh, wow. So his daughter, she's hopefully he's not coaching her daughter. This is Trump's granddaughter. This is Tiger Woods. Whatever. The degenerate elite. This is not your grandmother's Easter egg roll. White House seeks corporate sponsors for Easter event. A little creepy. Absolutely creepy. All the Easter egg events at the White House and they want corporate sponsors? Yeah, that was Logos revealed, and Logos looked like he had a sunburn on his face, if you didn't notice. I was just listening to, it was only Justin Barrett talking, really. I was just listening to him. He had an interview with him. I want to watch the whole interview. Logos used to read my comments all the time and haven't watched in a bit. He'd been on the show. I could maybe ask him if he would consider going on White Rabbit. I promised him a show. I probably should have him on someday. There's a lot. He's a smart fellow, for sure. I'm curious on what he thinks of Stu Peters and stuff like that, but I haven't talked to him in a minute. This is not your grandmother's Easter egg roll. What do you guys think? Corporate sponsors? White Rabbit Radio should sponsor the Easter roll? I don't think I could afford that. I'll give him $10, $100 maybe. I don't know. That's so cheesy, I wouldn't even want to do it, though. President Trump decisively revoked security clearances, this is funny, for Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Hillary Clinton, among others, on March 21st. His bold move announced via Breitbart, well, some people in Washington won't listen to it anyways, strips access to classified info from key Democrats, showcasing his commitment to national security. Be funny if it actually worked. The Biden family's probably pissed over this. Trump's order also targets Antony Blinken, Liz Cheney, and the entire Biden family. No longer in the national interest. Damn. From woke colleges to Hunter Biden and big law, Trump's week of settling scores. Trump is hammering people, or trying to. The problem is that the system all goes against Trump. All these establishment elements in there go against Trump. That is the problem in general with this type of thing. You know? And so no matter what he does, it gets reversed or watered down, seemingly. We'll have to see what he does with the judges. That's the big thing. Trump revokes security clearances for Joe Biden, entire family, Kamala Harris. Hillary Clinton, though, that's hilarious. This will really piss him off. Deport every person under the sun. Damn. That's a broad statement. ICE detains Cubans during immigration appointments. Deport every person under the sun. All right. They're sending Cubans home. Latinx. Beatrice Monteguido, 25, is detained. All right. They're detaining Cubans. It'd be more interesting if they did more than detain them, start sending them all home. I'm curious to see. They've got another big show going on right now, that's for sure. We just don't see the deportation numbers. I'm interested in, like, when they get up to 100,000, half million a month. DHS revokes temporary legal status of 530,000 immigrants. That's good. What now, though? You going to deport them? No may terminate people if she determines neither urgent humanitarian needs or significant public benefits warrant the continued presence of the alien in the United States. Good. But you got to get them out of here. You got to get the trains ready. You got to get the military ready, get the flight ready, and get those numbers up to six figures a month. White Rabbit Radio will be excited. And all the listeners will be excited. You start doing 100,000, half a million a month, and I mean, if you start really backing up this type of talk with numbers, then you will, I think, have some amount of self-deportation. But they want self-deportation just through tough talk, and that isn't going to happen. You know, I don't think, at least. Some people think it will. I don't think it will. I think you're going to have to actually deport, and then you'll get self-deportation. IRS nears a deal with ICE to share addresses of suspected undocumented immigrants. You know what they want to do? All these undocumented immigrants that send money home or have a bunch of money in bank accounts, look for Uncle Sam to start confiscating their money and stuff. Confiscate that money, start paying down the national debt. He needs to use the military 100%. Yeah, I mean, it didn't happen overnight, so expecting something overnight is unrealistic. They're saying a lot, but I do expect they could have ramped up. White paper said a half million a month is what they can do ASAP if they want to. You want to get the military involved. McGregor, Colonel McGregor, saying get the military involved. Private contractors are saying half a million a month, and they can do it. You know, it is what it is. But this is funny. IRS is getting involved. Yeah, we got talk here. That particular Indian I played, that Jayant Bhandari, he's become a darling, as predicted, darling of the right wing. This is... He's talking about the Indians have brought the caste system here. Let's listen to this. Hold on here.
Also heard from Indians that if you're from Gujarati, if that's how you pronounce it, you're going to first want to hire Gujaratis, and you're not going to be hiring somebody from Uttar Pradesh. I'm trying to
American First Elizabeth Farrow Show. I don't remember know my geography. I don't know anything about this woman. Word warning.
And all this. You're going to discriminate against them. They're different castes, they're different geographies, different language. So you're mostly going to hire in your own caste, your own state, if you will. And then you'll move out from then. Those other people would be lower down, maybe on the pecking order. But one woman who's an American, an engineer, highly qualified, a product manager, was the manager of this huge project with 100 people in the room. She was one of three white women, and everybody else was Indian. Huh. And she was treated with such disdain, disrespect, dishonesty, revulsion, as if she was dirty and horrifying to even look at. She was utterly, utterly devastated, and she's an experienced engineer, and finally left the field because it was pointless. But she was insulted. And
as predicted, this guy is getting big numbers because he's saying basically what we say about Indians, but he's saying it from an authoritative Indian way, and in a way that's palatable, I guess, for Republicans and these American First types that have to have the non-whites around telling them what white nationalists have been telling them for decades.
And humiliated. And she was a professional engineer, computer engineer.
Yeah, that's how Indians treat each other. That's how Indians treat each other. Oh. They are mean to each other. Every Indian organization works that way. They are doing the same to each other as well. And they are treating Americans they might even be treating Americans better, actually, the white American.
I see what you're saying. It's all going to depend. Yeah. But I say that, I guess my little model there is wrong, because I was thinking it was so disdainful. They must think that she's less than a Dalit. No offense to Dalits out there, but Dalits purport, which enrages me, that is being brought here. So we've talked about racism. Go ahead.
Now, Elizabeth, I might add that when those Dalit people rise into positions of power, they are even worse. They are no better. Okay. So you know, the problem with Western mind is that it sees an oppressor and an oppressed. the reality is that the oppressed is actually more oppressive when he gets the position of power.
This is something very difficult for these guys, for the white tards and whatever you want to call them, conservatards, to understand. That when the oppressor gets to power, he's going to be way more oppressive. But we know all about that, don't we? Trust the Indian guy not to tell us what it seems. Don't believe your lying eyes, going. Well, he makes it socially acceptable for them to say naughty things. Makes it socially acceptable. Thank you very much, the weird one. We'll see what you're sending in here. They're sending in from the real Ben, and the real Ben's the real deal. When it comes to
me, a report out by the government shows that by the year 2042, white Americans will no longer represent the majority of the population. That prediction is 8 years sooner than previously expected.
Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural, and I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be...
Yeah, but Jesus, need to go back.
...the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make.
And the task is to bring this minority together in such a way that it makes it impossible for the legacy of whiteness to continue to reproduce.
We British are being turned into strangers in our own land, and we were never asked whether we even wanted it.
Es handelt sich bei ihm um einen pathologischen, verbrecherischen Wahnsinn, nachweisbar von Juden erdacht.
Globalism concern. Was this from National Socialist Germany? Globalism concerns a pathological criminal madness invented by the Jews and led by the Jews. The aim of destroying civilized European people.
They are now going into a multicultural mode. And Jews will be resented because of our leading role. Because of our leading role.
Nachweisbar von Juden erdacht und von Juden.
Very good. Good. Let's give it a like. Real Ben. He puts out some good stuff. He's got a big account, that's for sure. Trump strong arms a law firm into giving millions to pro bono work to anti-Semitism task force. Surprise! President Trump on Thursday boasted a major law firm into giving $40 million in pro bono legal services. Presidential task force to combat anti-Semitism took a victory lap on Thursday and announced that a major law firm he targeted via executive order had capitulated to his demands. Now, this is Paul Weiss, Rifkind, Wharton, Carlson, LLP, a Manhattan-based law firm, notable Democratic clients. And most notably, in exchange for withdrawing the order, the firm agreed to do free work for the Trump administration at the tune of $40 million. Yes. Trump strong-arms big law firm into doing millions of pro bono work. President Donald Trump took a victory lap last week. Trump signed an EO, singled out this particular firm and its Democratic clients. In 2021, Paul Weiss, partner and former leading prosecutor, the officer of special counsel Robert Mueller, brought a pro bono lawsuit against individuals alleged to have participated in events that occurred near the United States Capitol, J6. So he basically bent them over the table over J6, and now he's making them do $40 million in pro bono legal work over anti-Semitisms, which probably won't be good. $40 million is a lot of money to give to a law firm over some type of anti-Semitism stuff. Paul Weiss will dedicate the equivalent of $40 million in pro bono legal services over the course of the Trump's team to support the administration's initiative, including assisting our nation's veterans, fairness in the justice system, president's task force to combat anti-Semitism, and other mutually agreed projects. Oh, man. New letter to Colombia from Trump admitted lists demands to continued financial relationship with the U.S. government. Suspend or expel students from Hamilton Hall protest. Time, place, and manner rules. Mask ban. Address anti-Zionist discrimination. Reform admissions. More. None of this is good for us, by the way. This could get very dicey, but he's bending him over the table. Trump targets lawyers in immigration case, lawsuits against administration. All right, Trump's targeting lawyers. He basically just wants a deal. He targets people. Everything is about a deal. It's not based on principles, per se. It's based on deals. Everything's a transaction. So if we can do a deal, well, we'll lay off that. Just wants a deal, guys. Trump's commerce secretary, don't complain if we don't send your Social Security check. Only thieves and fraudsters will complain, says Wall Street billionaire Howard Lutnick. Yeah, this won't go over that well. Now, a judge got pissed off over this. A judge slammed Social Security chief for agency shutdown threats after ruling barring DOGE access. Now, this is against Commissioner Lee Dudek. They keep messing with Social Security, and I think they want to cut off Social Security for white America. They want to say, look, if you already got a pension, you don't need Social Security, so you don't get it. That's what they want to do. That's my opinion. I can't prove it. But I think they want to cut off Social Security for anyone like a Teamster, someone on a Teamster pension where you get Teamsters. Let's say you get $3,000 a month from Teamsters. You worked 50 years and paid for it. You get Social Security on top of that because you worked and paid into that as well. And so they want to basically do some kind of means testing, and that means testing would be aggressive and like, okay, you know, you're already making $3,000 a month. You know, although you paid into this, you're not going to get any Social Security. They want to do this type of shit, and they want to do it specifically to white America. And yeah, baby boomers have done very well. A lot of them have a lot of money, but they're going to try to screw over white America when it comes to Social Security. I mean, me and you are never going to get any. But that's what they want to do. They're not going to screw over Congress and former senators when it comes to their pensions, but they definitely want to go after Social Security recipients that, quote-unquote, don't need it. Now, Warren Buffett doesn't need it. There is a lot, maybe, of very wealthy Americans that could forego getting Social Security, would say, look, don't give me Social Security. They could opt out. And that, if that's voluntary, I'm all for it. I don't mind people being well off voluntarily saying, you know, I don't want my Social Security. Now, if you're watching this show, take every dime you get from Social Security until you have an all-white government that's pro-white and up to snuff, and use it to distribute to your favorite pro-white operators. I mean, if you don't need it or whatever, but no. Not this particular government, but I could see that. Stop paying taxes and watch all this shit stop and the war start. Well, stop paying taxes and go to jail. Interesting. One big reason for fewer babies' phones, they're linking all this growth in technology. Lack of romantic partnership is an underrated factor causing fertility decline. As country ranging from the United States to Finland, Mexico to Turkey and Japan, fertility data has been fairly esoteric concern, not anymore. Vice President J.D. Vance talks about it regularly. Elon Musk calls it civilization's greatest threat. Pro-family rhetoric. Some point, the increase in women's education and income. What has happened everywhere all at once is that we see a rise in singles. And they're linking it to technology and smartphones and stuff like that. I think there's a lot of reasons, but having everything online and, you know, used to you'd meet a girl at the local dance at a high school or something like that. Now everything's online. It's definitely having... It's not having a good effect. There's no balance. There needs to be some rebalancing. And phones with kids is probably a bad idea. Smartphones, especially a bad idea. We'll have to see the data, but phones, smartphones, technology, it's definitely had an effect. It's had a dramatic effect in places like Japan. It's kind of universal. Had an effect on relationships. Now, we do have big financial news coming out. Cash is dying out. Cash is drying up. Debt monetization by the Federal Reserve, it fueled the liquidity engine, but that trend ended 3 years ago. Intriguing because the stock market's just now starting to go down, and that's pretty good lag, but that's how it works. The chart shows that since 2022, the Federal Reserve has shed $2.2 trillion in bonds and mortgages. The total value of the balance sheet declined from $8.97 trillion to $6.76 trillion. That's a decrease of 24.5%. The Fed has never before decreased its balance sheet by that large of a percentage. from January 2015 to August 2019. It reduced its balance sheet by 16%. A few months later, the COVID crash of Q1 2020 unfolded in stocks. The latest asset reduction by the Fed sets up a vastly over-leveraged financial markets for another plunge. When liquidity dries up, assets go down. It's the problem with this system. When a liquidity reduction is systemic, all assets go down together. Yeah, everything would go down. Even gold would go down. There might be a great buying opportunity in gold. Bitcoin, everything would go down. There's times in economic history, because we have, thanks to people like the City of London, we have charts going back hundreds of years. And when you go into these liquidity crises, especially when you're dealing with a private central bank, when you go into these liquidity crises, not only does like stocks and bonds, everything goes down every single day until it finds a bottom, until it finds some amount of liquidity. So this is definitely a catalyst. Now, why did they do this? Probably foreigners dumping our notes may have spooked them. Foreigners dumping assets may have spooked them, and they started drying up liquidity, worried about some type of runaway inflation. But now you could get runaway deflation and stagflation. We'll have to see what they do. You know? We'll have to see what they do. This is kind of big news, though. I didn't realize it had gone down. The liquidity had been shrunk that much. It's a big, big move against liquidity. And this system is starved for liquidity. The system runs like a giant balloon with a hole in it. And you've got to keep blowing it up and blowing it up. And the hole is the problem, because it's systemic to the system. You're loaning a note into circulation, and that is a debt instrument, meaning interest on it is going to outpace the amount of debt in circulation. So it is a scheme, but there are time limits to the scheme. Normally, the bankers roll the scheme into a bigger scheme. They find new territory to dollarize. The problem is the whole entire planet is dollarized, and is now, of course, you're shrinking back into North America. You're shrinking back into the empire's home base and trying to bring manufacturing back. It's a delicate scheme. Don't be surprised if it doesn't one morning end up in some type of disaster. I just don't know how, because they've got every angle figured out. They understand the 20s. They understand the 20s caused the 30s. They understand all that very well. China says it's ready for shocks as fresh Trump tariffs loom. Now, they've got to bring stuff back from everywhere, and they've got to start up manufacturing here. There could be a lot of opportunities, especially in farming and anything, but they've got to do so much after they've given so much away. They've given everything away, and now they're hauling ass bringing everything back, or trying to. And it will, because businesses want to make money in North America. North America is still one of the wealthiest, largest markets in the universe, as we know it. Prince Andrew's aides must release letter to alleged Chinese spy, tribunal rules amid claims document could contain embarrassing information. What's going on between the royals and China's and the Chinese? So it's not just the Chinese in the news because they're going to counter Trump's tariffs. And tariffs typically precede real wars, by the way. Historically, every time there's been this type of event, it's generally these type of events, they're followed by sanctions and tariffs and counter tariffs, and it generally ends up in some type of war. Doesn't mean it's going to be like some world war and end of the universe type of deal, or end of the world type of deal, but just giving you a historical fact. Chinese spies, though, around Andrew. I'm curious, they send a hooker in his midst or something? He's always caught up in some scandal. He is, isn't he? He's the bad news. He's the bad news kid. Bad news royal. Elon Musk threatens Pentagon leakers after New York Times report on secret China war briefing. Yeah, what's so confusing about this, and Trump said that, no, Elon can't see anything about some secret war against some, like, war plans against China. And the reason he can't see anything is he has big business deals in China. And that's normally how it goes. But Elon is something special. I don't know if he's chipped in the head already. I don't know what he is. But Elon is something special. He's some kind of big deal or something. Something we haven't seen yet, I guess. He gets war plans and we don't. He's got deals with China. Normally, a businessman would not get close to something like this, but somehow, some way, apparently he saw it. And Trump was said no way did he see it, or no way can he see it, because he's got business dealings with China. It'd be a conflict of interest. Makes sense to me, but I don't know the bottom line on this one. A lot of contradictions. They will be found, warns U.S. President Donald Trump's billionaire advisor. Top advisor Elon Musk has openly threatened Pentagon employees who may have linked information the tech billionaire was due to get a briefing on potential American war with China. Yeah, the Washington, these guys have so many enemies buried in the system. So many enemies that are out for blood against them or going to do anything they can to disrupt this administration, and that's their problem. You're not going to be able to get rid of all of them, I don't think. Greenland is hard to defend. The Danes are working on it. And Denmark wants to defend Greenland. From who? I mean, is Trump going to order an invasion? What's he going to do? Yeah. See what the Danes do to defend it. Well, NATO could defend it, but America's part of NATO. It's all one giant clusterfuck. Greenland, I assume Trump wants Greenland because of natural resources. Arctic pathway. Could be a variety of different reasons. I think he's just doing crazy shit. You know, Germany is unlocking billions to supercharge its military at a seismic moment for Europe. This is big news. They're talking about drafting a lot of young whites, too. Probably some non-whites as well. After all, some non-whites are French, German, whatever. They would get drafted. I don't know how this would work other than end up in a lot of whites dead. Usually these wars always end up with a lot of us dead. We already know that. Germany seizes oil tanker belonging to Russia's shadow fleet. Well, I would think they would start arming very quickly if they start doing things like this. But I wonder, with headlines like this, Germany to hold emergency talks over F-35 fighter deal amid growing concerns of Trump dependency. Well, yeah, they could shut down technology on you. They could say, well, your F-35s don't work. Kind of like they could do with a modern car. If you have a brand new, let's say, Ford truck or something like that, they could technically turn it off on you. These electronic vehicles. So there's a lot of concern over, since they just did that in Ukraine, which is not a good way to sell weapons. No one's going to want to buy your weapons if you're turning shit off on people because they're in a war you don't agree with. It's a very Israeli thing to do, but it's not something that's going to get a lot of good customers over the long haul when it comes to your weapons. I just wonder, though, if the Germans don't have some goodies ready to roll out and they just want to terminate an F-35 contract because Rheinmetall or whoever their big, whoever would make their fighter jet over there in Germany, you know, whatever one of these companies has some badass model they're getting ready to roll out. I just don't know. But they're holding emergency meetings. They have to be concerned because if they go to bomb something with the F-35 and the Trump administration disagrees with it, they'll just turn it off. Which they can do. Doesn't work for business, though. If someone buys something, they want it to work when they want it to work and how they want it to work. They don't want you to control it. It's kind of common sense. Germany SPD working group demands 500,000, yikes, legal migrants a year, automatic citizenship for long-term residents. Let's get all the white guys dead. Yeah, so we have to bring in, you know, 20 million Jeets and Africans. That's what I see this about. I always see it about white genocide, but that's just me. Rate of French women assaulted on public transport spikes by 86% for some weird, unknowable reason. Armageddon pros. Even Armageddon pros is having to write about this type of thing. It's racial. Everything goes toward race, 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 race. You just got to keep yelling it. Getting it, I guess, is part of the battle. Having someone do something about it or allowing us to organize, well, that's a whole other battle, isn't it? It's the battle we're in right now. The photo demonstrates the impact of DEI and the failure to enforce standards. We will weather the storm. This is the state of our military. This is Douglas McGregor. This is the state of our military. These are three female MAs, Navy MPs. The picture was taken right after they got out of Navy law enforcement vehicle. Massive change in the military is required to end this nonsense. Thank you very much for helping us hit the goal here on Rumble, sir. The weird one, just one more link for the 88. I appreciate it, sir. But check this out. This is he's getting a lot of flack over this. These are female MPs. They look white or whitish. Maybe the one on the left is mixed or something. It looks like they're heading toward a subway. Can you imagine if these women came to arrest you? I guess they could sit on you. Yeah, I think these Navy uniforms are going to have to get bigger every year. And they're not in any shape at all. Yeah. They're putting up all kinds of funny things in the comment. Hold on here. Meal Team 6 instead of SEAL Team 6. Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. Everything in North America, well, everything on the planet's getting fat. Whole sections of the planet. Mexico's getting fat. Everything's getting fat. Everyone. Meal Team 6. It's pretty funny. He's catching flack over, too. These fat white women, you can... Navy MPs can do a good job. No, they can't. Yeah, Trump picks a pro-settlement Mike Huckabee as U.S. ambassador to Israel. Holy shit. Holy shit. Mike Huckabee, U.S. ambassador to Israel. Trump has also tapped close friend Stephen Witkoff. Tucker Carlson added him on the other day to be a special envoy to the Middle East despite scant experience. Well, he's Jewish. Trump announced on his Truth Social platform that he would nominate former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, the post of U.S. ambassador to Israel. I don't know if he is an evangelical, and I think Huckabee's daughter did Trump right in the first term, you know, worked for Trump, whatnot. So Mike has been a great public servant, governor, and leader in faith for many years. He loves Israel and the people of Israel, and likewise the people of Israel love him. Trump's post read, Mike will work tirelessly to bring about peace in the Middle East. Well, he believes in pro-settlement, pro-expansion, so, you know, he's a Zionist. Haven't seen that cause a lot of peace, but, you know, hey. Netanyahu, this has got to be disturbing. Fetterman, who I think is part Jewish, right? Netanyahu gives Senator Fetterman a silver pager to commemorate Israeli terror attack on Lebanon. This weird shit, he's giving away silver pagers. Now, he gave a gold pager. The brand of the pager is Apollo. He gave a gold one to Trump, which is kind of weird. Netanyahu gifted Senator Fetterman, PA, a silver pager.
How about giving him a beeper?
Giving him a beeper. Wouldn't you be pretty nervous if Netanyahu gave you something like this?
How about giving him a beeper? This is a silver-plated beeper. The real beeper is like one-tenth the weight. It's nothing.
Really?
Yeah, but it changes history.
You know, when that story...
It changes history.
That story broke.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I love it. I love it. And now it's like, thank you for this. Yeah. No. All right. No, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. They're doing the dog and pony show in Israel. I'd be pretty nervous if he handed me a silver plated. That's a real pager. It's silver plated. I don't know.
After October 7th, there was a feeling around the world that Israel is weaker. And
want a beeper?
I can give you a few.
This is the famous Holocaust shield. This is Deborah Lipstadt, which I believe, how many like World War II historians has she been called into court over in Europe and stuff like that? David Irving, right? Who all did Deborah Lipstadt try to railroad in court? U.S. State Department envoy to combat anti-Semitism. Deborah Lipstadt cracks repugnant joke, making light of the Israeli terror attack, which killed children and left thousands maimed in Lebanon, including nurses.
After October 7th, there was a feeling around the world that Israel is weaker. And
You want a beeper?
You want a beeper? You want a beeper.
Yeah. You've got to start doing things differently. And the same goes here in Israel. This means that the problem won't be solved by yet another new Knesset task force. It won't be solved by the government just throwing money at the problem. It won't be solved by the IDF spokesperson's unit issuing updated talking points or suddenly using TikTok. Like us in America, you need to adopt new strategies, to experiment with creative tactics, to study the results and scale what works. Maybe it's a whole new IDF unit, call it 8300, to lead this fight. But we need the kind of genius that manufactured Apollo gold pagers and infiltrated Hezbollah for over a decade to prepare for this battle.
Jesus. As a young victim in Lebanon, I was playing on my phone at home. I heard the pager ring. I didn't know that sound. I grabbed it and barely had time to press OK before it exploded. Yikes. Crazy stuff. But they will not hesitate to go down this road. They don't give a shit. New rocket launches put Israel and Hezbollah on the brink of war once again. I think they want war with Hezbollah. They think they can finish them off. They did considerable damage with the pager attack. Normally, Hezbollah rebuilds over a series of months and years. And this, of course, has been just a handful of months. So we'll have to see. But it's heating up again, just bringing you the facts. Not that it wasn't predictable that they would go in there. Israel bombs Gaza in ceasefire after rearming with U.S. weapons. I don't think there's any surprise. They want to finish what they started in these particular areas, and it's going to get probably more brutal. Usually there's fits and starts, and then if they back down, there's some kind of a peace deal, but it doesn't really end if you live in these particular areas. If you're Palestinian or Lebanese right now, they're going to push into these areas very hard and keep going and going until they achieve their objectives, which I would imagine it's more land, because that's what it always is, more land. Hegseth orders additional carrier to the Middle East amid Yemen escalation. And it looks like they're using the Yemen escalation. They're going to really try to pound the Yemenis, and I don't know how they can do that without going in on the ground. But they're going to really pound the Yemenis and threaten Iran, try to cut them off from Iran. They did Syria, Bashar al-Assad. They're going after the Shia Crescent. Now, the Yemenis are outside of the Shia Crescent. Shia Crescent is Iran through Iraq, through Syria, which is now broken up into turmoil, and Lebanon. So what they're doing by attacking Lebanon is they're still attacking that Shia Crescent, Shia and the Sunnis. You know, Shia is a global minority among Islam. It's only at 20%, 15, 20%. However, in the Middle East, it's at parity. It's 50-50. And that makes the House of Saud and many of the Sunni houses quite nervous because they could challenge holy sites technically. And the Israelis, of course, are going to be spearheading this. But don't think that the House of Saud or any of these others can't be talking out of both sides of their mouth. It just depends on how you look at it. It's the Abraham Accords and all that good stuff, which isn't so good for the Shia. But the Yemenis are in the Shia camp, but they are Shia, but they're outside the Shia Crescent, stuck over in Yemen, and the U.S. plans on pounding them. I'm curious to see all what the Houthis do, because typically they survive. They survived the Saudis. They've survived everyone else. Can they survive the empire pounding them with cruise missiles and everything else? We shall see. And I don't know what the Iranians have sold them. Last news piece of the day, NVIDIA CEO, humanoid robot revolution is closer than you think. Yeah, since they're rolling out crazy stuff from the Gaza Plateau that I never thought they would show us. Like I said in the beginning, I expected to see like some kind of room underneath the Great Pyramid and some type of copper scroll or something. I didn't expect anything like that crazy. Meaning they're going to rewrite the whole entire history of the Gaza Plateau. I wasn't expecting anything like that. That's the significance. It rewrites all of conventional history in one fell swoop. So who knows what they roll out? Do they have some kind of robot behind the scenes? Hard to say. Tomorrow with the paywall, tomorrow I do not have any interview scheduled, or I couldn't get one scheduled. And the following week we have on Mr. Hersant from NSN over there in Australia. And he does all these video clips, are quite well done, on Telegram. We're going to have him on Monday. We have Emil Liukas on Friday. So this week, tomorrow, I'm going to do the paywall show. We're going to do an extended show sometime in the evening. And that'll be put up on here for those that subscribe, as well as whiterabradio.net, which all the main subscribers are at. And I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys tuning in. And we'll expand more on this type of thing. We'll go a little bit, go to the you know, speculate on where they might be going with some of this and what it means, at least to me. Life will have to be brutal and boring again before men and women catch each other's eye again, or a Daddy AH makes it attractive again. Uh-oh. Daddy AH, okay. All right, thank you, Ghost Dog Man. I appreciate the support on Rumble. Rumble support is picking up speed, and I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys tuning in and supporting the show. Let me check everywhere else. But I will be back on Wednesday, of course. Be back on Wednesday and Friday and Sunday. And then the following week, we're going to have on a lot of interviews. I'm trying to schedule out Vincent James. Vincent James has been red hot on all the intricacies of JFK and Israel. And so I'm trying to schedule him for a show on that, why it's still like timely. And I want to hear all about that. But Vincent James, I'm trying to schedule. I'm trying to schedule a bunch of different people, put it there that way. But Emily Yukas the following week on a Friday. And Monday will be Mr. Hersant from Australia. But anyways, guys, cheers. And I appreciate your support. And tomorrow, the paywall show will be out sometime in the evening. And stay tuned for that. But cheers, guys. Thanks for your support.